A promotion, merriment and cheer. But soon thereafter, life began to truly run aground. So there's just one thing to sing as December rolls around. What the actual fuck 2020? What the flippity flappity fuck? At points we had a little hope, but then you slapped us and said, nope, every day we'll fucking suck. So 2020, what the fuck? Just gotta get to New Year's Eve, that's cute. However, this might simply be how bad life is forever. Whoever's writing this hellish roller coaster plot, could you stop? You sadistic, twisted crackpot! What the actual fuck 2020? What the crap? What the hell? What the fuck? So much bullshit that we hated, it seems almost calculated. This is more than just bad luck. So 2020, what the fuck?
Oh, hear the sleigh bells jingle. The magic makes you tingle. But it's not safe to mingle. So you won't meet Kris Kringle.
All your single friends? Still single! What the actual fuck, 2020?
What the fuck?
What the ball-kicking, eye-gouging fuck? Take figgy puddings if you've got them and shove them up your bottom. Your sweet fa-la-la-la-la stink as much as Santa Claus. You don't even comprehend how much we want this shit to end so we can somehow climb out of this muck. 2020, what the fuck?
Hello, and welcome to the final Team White of the year of your Lord, not my Lord, 2021. We are on 12/30/2021, about to go into 2022. Jan is with me from South Africa. Our other friends, of course, are either jugged or suppressed and silenced in England, UK, and in Germany, people we've had on before. So we're going to discuss a little about what's going on in South Africa and in the USA, and one final wrap-up, not really a year wrap-up, but just where we are right now. I got a couple things I want to talk about to start it off. Saw an interesting article. Now, you know, I always say Nemo, Northeast Missouri, and I say Kirksville is a little town of 17,000 people, and they just happened to put out an article on census data shows diverse changes in Kirksville yesterday. This article appeared. This is interesting. Now, the county that Kirksville is in is named Adair County. It's named after, I believe, a former 1800s governor of Kentucky named Adair. I don't know his first name, but anyway, the actual population of Kirksville, which is not particularly rural, of Adair County, has gone down by like 1% in 10 years. Kirksville's population is almost exactly the same. It's only gone from 17,505 in 2010 to 17,530. So it's only 25 more people. It seems like more to me. Maybe that's because there's been more building. But now, this is interesting, and take this, the reason I'm talking about it is because I'm here and I have access to, I see it, and I can compare that with the data, and then we look at the larger national picture to so that it means something to others. But as a microcosm, so the white population in Kirksville has gone down about 1,600 people. It's gone down like 10%. And at the same time, the white population has gone down 10%, and Adair County has gone down 1.1%. From, so say, 25,600 to 25,300. Again, that's the county. Then Kirksville is 17,500 of that 25,000. So Kirksville is the county seat and the big city in the county, which is not a particularly small county. It's not particularly large either. But anyway, so the white population goes down 10%. What happened to the other populations? Right, let's look at it. The black population went up 226.7%. So it went up from 2%, 2.2% of the city, to now it's over 7.3% of the city. And they say the census didn't include any migration data, but a large section of that growth is attributed to the influx of African people to Kirksville, specifically Congolese. The mixed race population increased 169.5%. So both the black population, more than 200%, a little more. The mixed race, a little less than 200%. The Asian population increases over 50%, 54.7%. Other races up 43.3%, Indian, Muslim, whatever. And the Hispanic or Latino population increased only 18.6%, which is kind of amazing. Now, it says there were 16,160 white residents counted in the 2010 census, down to 14,424. This is kind of a little surprising to me. That it's the only surprise to me visually, you can see there's a lot more Africans here, and there's probably more coming all the time, because when I go to the post office, I'll often see blacks in there, and they're blacks I've never seen before. So if there's only a few hundred, you're going to see the same type people when you do the same type things, and there's constantly more blacks, not just blacks. Mexicans, I haven't seen a huge increase in them. It's not exactly bad here. You can find jobs there. We do draw some of the scum population from St. Louis and Kansas City. And over time, you get little bits of Kirksville that start to resemble some of the scummy areas you see in Kansas City and St. Louis. And I'm familiar with at least St. Louis as well. And we had a number. These were not even so much black. They're probably about 50-50. So when blacks are just under 10%, they're still committing half the crime. Or other colors are committing half the crime. But we've had a number of shootings in the last 1 to 2 years. And I think this just reflects just uneasiness and unhappiness and misery with this masked up stuff. And Kirksville is one of the least masked areas, one of the least clot-shotted areas, probably in the entire country. Now we've moved on to Micron. You go out to the bars or whatever, and it's nice. It's like a slice of life where people aren't scared of everything. But basically anyone who – it's all the official institutions, the college, Truman State, and the schools that are constantly talking about this. The media nonstop talks about this because it makes them feel to themselves important, like they're communicating important information. And, hey, look at us. We have something that's super important, and you have to listen to us. And they really are obnoxious hall monitor type of business at this point, since they deplatform everybody with an alternative view. Anyway, that's what's going on in Kirksville, where I've been the last 20-plus years. And on a larger scale, that's what's going on in the USA. The whites are declining part of the population, and they continue to bring in people from all around the world, but the darkest and worst areas they can find in particular. And then I think adding to this, I read an article from the Washington Post last night. Now, this is one of the two worst top papers, the main print Jewish media print outlets for the masses is the Washington Post. And of course, I used to live out there. I'm familiar with all this. And most of their stuff is now behind a paywall. This article they allowed you to read, and it was basically the celebration of the lawyers, the two Jews, the Kaplan and the Dunn, I believe I mentioned on earlier, Team Whites, bragging about how they used these old laws from the 1900s to through a civil trial to bankrupt all these white organizations. And unlike other articles, they let you read the whole thing, and then they let you read the comments as well. The Washington Post basically has everything else behind a paywall, so I think there's a little politics there. They're kind of gloating and enjoying it. And they had over 1,000 comments in the article. I really read through it, and it just made me realize how utterly hopeless any sort of reform of the USA is. It's simply going to go downhill until it destroys itself. Because it's based on so many lies. And when the lies get into the money and the people, the money is so false that eventually they just run out of, they're not able to print anymore and it falls apart. And that is probably how it's going to ultimately fall apart. But the people who read, the people who make up the audience of the Washington Post are people who are living and parasitizing off the rest of the people. And boy, do they hate those people. And they make zero distinction between Trump, you know, who's all completely married in with Jews, is from New York, who's always supported Jews. They make zero distinction between Trump and Hitler and Republicans and Oath Keepers and Patriot. what was the Patriot group? The January 6th stuff is big in their mouth. They're trying to destroy our democracy. They're threatening our democracy. And a bunch of people being led into the Capitol and walking around stupidly for a few minutes is equated with the billions in destruction that they're Black and Antifa scumbags have carried out over the last couple of years. So everything, Blacks are allowed to do anything because of white racism. This CRT view of the world, this whites are guilty, this Loxism, this Jewish hatred of whites absolutely defines everything in the media. And these people have gone for so many generations without hearing any alternative point of view. They are absolutely the most hateful, intolerant, bigoted, filled with absolute hatred of Trump and anyone who would vote for him. Essentially, any white who's not part of the government, who's not part of the elect, who's not living off normal white people through the government, i.e. like school teachers and the rest, they absolutely loathe. And these people are not the majority, but they're a large minority and they have virtually 100% of the power. And they are so used to, in conjunction with their media, flipping and inverting reality to present Black as white, that really they have hardened their minds against reality. They have hardened their minds against the truth. They have hardened their hearts against normal white people, flyover, redneck, whatever you want to call them, that absolutely nothing other than being completely demolished and leveled is going to have any effect on them. They will never, ever be fair. They will never, ever be honest. They will never come around and start acknowledging anything. They will always make excuses for all manner of Black violence. They obviously enjoy it because those are Trump's people are getting dispossessed of their businesses and having their houses burned and all. They want to see those people destroyed. They love it when Blacks murder them. And there's basically nothing you can do. And the country is pretty evenly split. Coast and the interiors, urban and rural, Jew and non-Jew. And the Jew part is behind all of this. We know that they own the Post and they're running all this stuff. They're responsible for it, but it never comes up. It's just this, to ostensible appearances, it's two competing worldviews that are completely hostile to one another. And increasingly, the politicization of everything. And we've talked before in the last year, it's really been the CRT that's come to the forefront in the USA, the critical race theory, where whites are responsible for everything. Everything good whites did is due to Blacks, and everything bad the Blacks do is due to whites. So whites are at once, they don't exist, they're responsible for all evil, and they suppressed everything. But yet everything good that's out there that you might think was created by Blacks and whites profited off the backs of those Blacks through slavery. So it's absolutely beyond insane, but whether or not the thing is formally called CRT and taught in the public classroom, this is essentially what all public schools and all colleges are teaching people. And whites, whether they like it or not, are forced to pay through that through property taxes that sustain these absolutely tyrannical, miserable, stupid public schools. And they go into debt, since they don't know any better, to hear this stuff at college as well. So the only light that I can really see is that Bitcoin may put an end to this by making dishonest money impossible. Now, we're a long way from that, but what we saw in 2021 was El Salvador adopt Bitcoin at the suggestion of Max Kaiser as an official legal tender and do volcano bonds, or at least the latter of that was due to Max Kaiser, the volcano bonds. And already they're starting to see improved numbers. They have a bunch of people leaving the El Salvador to go to the USA. Well, now that they have hard money, they have something valuable. It will be really interesting to watch in 2022 to see if they start actually, people start not leaving there for the US and people from the outside start migrating there as the Kaiser, Max Kaiser and Stacey Herbert are doing, to move to Bitcoin City or El Zante or somewhere in El Salvador to live in the first place that will have legal, absolutely hard money, that the Jews can't control the central bank and simply print money, which when you understand the ramifications of money, printing money is what allows them to fund all these illegal wars. And see, at the same time as this USA empire is going straight downhill, the Jews who control the USA are still trying to instigate another world war with Russia and maybe China through this meddling around in Ukraine. And the very day we're recording, Putin had demanded that Biden get on a phone call with him. Russia saying, look, we have been backed up as far as we are willing to go. And now we're going to absolutely move if you lying sons of bitches don't back off. And Russia is now openly saying, like, the treaty with America doesn't mean anything. They simply ignore it, because the whole premise was that when the Soviet Union disappeared, hey, we're not going to expand NATO an inch eastward. And they, of course, promptly did that. So the U.S. government is 100% unreliable as any kind of a treaty counterpart. You cannot trust anything the U.S. government says. All history proves that. So as this empire is drawing to an end, it could take 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years, but it's coming to an end through excessive financial collapse is the most likely. They're still trying to get the last bang out of it by instigating war through Ukraine to attack Russia. But as we now know, the Russians and the Chinese in many ways are more militarily advanced than the United States. So you have these people with this attitude. I described in the Washington Post article, Ray Kaplan and Dunn, who is also herself a Jew, celebrating their victory over the civil. And everything they do is, like I said, is inverted. This was not a criminal trial. They triumphed in a civil trial. So no law is broken, but yet all these right-wing people owe these left-wing people $26 million. And every single commentator just loved that, whether they had the money or not, bankrupt them. And they're saying, well, they have to know you can't interfere with the civil. They're doing exactly what they sued and the right-wingers were found guilty of doing. They are guilty of infringing on the rights of the right-wing people who merely wanted to speak and had a permit and had a place to hold a rally. It's the right-wing people who are infringed against, but they lie about this, and there's a large mass of people who support that lie, and they don't want to hear any different. So ultimately, it will come down to blood, or it will come down to money, one of the two, or some combination of them. But they're absolutely trying to use the last decades, the closing years or decades of this miserable empire to stir up more color revolutions the way they did in the Middle East and Gaddafi, and failed in Syria, or Lebanon, I mean, and Iran and Iraq. They continue to press and harass Iraq and North Korea and Iran and North Korea and particularly Ukraine in order to get at Russia. So, but yet the good news along with Bitcoin and this hard money is that Russia and China are withdrawing from the SWIFT, the global international US-based financial, or maybe it's based out of Switzerland, but it's US-directed financial settlement system that uses the dollar and the petrodollar as well. So the age of the petrodollar and the dollar are coming to an end. And if Bitcoin can replace them as something for transferring value internationally as much as you want for a very low fee, that would be perfect. And that would put a really big pressure on the U.S. to reform. And since it can't reform, because as Kaiser always says, you can't taper a Ponzi, there are too many trillion in debt. What they have to do is just keep printing money. And ultimately, that is what is going to destroy them. But that's no guarantee that what comes after is any better for whites. So whites need to make themselves individually as strong and healthy as they can. They need to make themselves as rich as they can. And the likeliest means for doing that is Bitcoin. I could give you other coins, but just I would say stick with Bitcoin if you want the simplest thing and don't want to worry about other stuff. But you've got to protect yourself as this empire falls apart. There is zero sign whites are able to organized to defend themselves. They simply want to hunker down and complain and be entertained by Fox and other worthless mass media that's fake opposition. And they want to go to their church and do their praying, which never has or will change anything in human life. There's no sign they're willing to form an army and actually fight for their rights. So they're going to getting picked off. You know, we've seen the black driving over the SUV driving over to all the kids in Waukesha, Wisconsin, and, you know, nothing comes of that. There's been other murders I've seen. We reported on Pikeville and circulated that, and no sign at all they're willing or able to fight back, except a random individual here or there. But you need, of course, to tie these efforts together into a white racial team that can actually defend itself. But that's why we talk, and that's what we're trying to promote. But until that day that can be done, you've got to protect yourself individually and your family as best you can through the ways that we've talked about. And so that's my wrap in America on 2021 as we go into 2022. Now, Jan, what do you, any questions about that or?
lots of questions. I like your comment from Max Kaiser that you can't taper a Ponzi. That's exactly what I've been sitting and thinking about this money printing for ages now, is that if you look at it, all they're doing is that they're faking the stock markets. They're trying to prevent the stock markets from crashing. That's their obsession. And yeah. Alex, I don't know how it is in America, but everything that I've seen on stock markets, correct me if I'm wrong, other than government bonds, everything, and I mean everything that I've seen in South Africa and from what I can make out worldwide, absolutely every instrument of investment that you can get is in one way or the other tied back to the stock market. Whether it's an insurance policy, whether it's your pension fund, whether it's your fucking investment savings through whatever the tool is. Every single thing is tied to the stock market. So when that baby goes down, what people don't grasp is that when that baby goes down, everybody will lose everything. You'll lose
everything. Yeah, why they keep pumping the money in, because if the minute you had honest rates, what's supposed to happen is businesses are supposed to go out of business and fail. And there has to be a rate to loaning money, but they've kept the rate so close to zero for so long, they're essentially giving all these billionaires 0% loans. And yeah, the minute they stop printing money, the stock market would crash. And you're right, everything is tied to the stock market. Even Bitcoin right now, is the price of it is related to the stock market. That's why Bitcoin is maybe a trillion plus, but the stock market is 30 to 40 trillion. So it's much larger. So we got to get more and more money into Bitcoin, hopefully legalized in other places in South America. More people get into it, drive the price higher. And it become obvious that just as it's obvious the U.S. is falling apart, that Bitcoin is coming together and we're going to have a global system that's actually fair. Not in theory, but in reality, where your portion of Bitcoin is worth as much as anybody else's. And then they can't just print more Bitcoin. If they want your Bitcoin, they have to actually provide a good or a service to you that's worth exchanging for it. They can't just print it and steal it the way Jews do now by passing out the money to people like Jeffrey Epstein and the head of all their different banks.
Yeah. Well, the thing that I'm thinking is, you know, if the stock markets crash and people lose everything that they have except the physical things they own, like your house, your car, your gun, your gold, your Bitcoin, you know, the everything else will be gone. And people don't, and for that reason, they've got to carry on with this Ponzi scheme. The Ponzi, everything on earth literally is linked to that Ponzi scheme.
Yeah, it's
everything.
It's funny, but the mass, because the where's the mass of money? It's in all the pensions and stuff. And then these are into the stock market.
Exactly.
They used to be into bonds, but bonds are now like negative yielding. So that's why Kaiser is saying, like, why don't you put the bond, and Michael Saylor is saying, why don't you put the bond money into Bitcoin that's been doubling every year for 10 years? And so eventually Bitcoin is going to eat through gold and then eat through the bonds and then eat through some of the rest of this. But then you've got these gigantic companies like BlackRock that actually own half the housing in a lot of these areas and been buying stuff up and making it impossible for other people to get housing. So the younger generation has nothing to do really but turn to Bitcoin because they can't afford these houses because they're going up. Like some of these, even in podunk areas like where I am, you'll see the stuff like if you look at the estimates, it would be going up 10% a month practically, which is ridiculous. And in the high desired areas, like a lot of the interior west, like I happen to Salt Lake because I got relatives there, or Idaho, where a lot of people are moving as California has failed, you're getting huge increases, inflationary increases in hot spots. So yeah, all this, and like Kaiser says, the Fed will always say, oh, we're going to taper down, but he's like, they can't. You can't taper it. So it's always just words. They may cut the flow of the increase slightly, but that's not an actual cut. In reality, they keep putting out more and more money. And whereas we used to get suckers around the world, see the whole thing, if you look from the history from after World War II on, they had Bretton Woods. They got everybody together and said, look, all your economies are destroyed by the war. Let's base everything in the dollar, and you guys tie your currencies to the dollar, and the dollar is tied to gold. And that worked for a while, but the problem is when you have any kind of externally imposed condition that's tied to reality, like tying your dollar to gold where it's redeemable, that's a check upon you. And they don't want any checks. What they want to do is expand the war on poverty under LBJ and get into Vietnam. A war costs a hell of a lot of money. So as a final acknowledgement of all the deficit spending that they're doing based on the Keynesian, the British fag, and his theory, there is no long run. So just print for the moment and do whatever you want to do and socially engineer everything, whether it's a war in Vietnam or a war on poverty or a war on drugs or whatever. In 1971, they took the dollar off gold. So again, an example of the unreliability of the U.S. government. Oh, yeah, I know we said yesterday you could redeem your dollar for gold. If you relied on us, we're not going to fuck you. You can't. And that allowed their spending to go haywire. And it went up gradually for another 20, 30 years. But now, since then, the last 10 or 12, it's just been going absolutely to the moon. There's no zero condition or discipline imposed upon what they do. So they've just printed infinity amounts of money, like 40% of the money that ever existed has been printed in the last 2 years, essentially, and under this COVID garbage is basically some version of that is what you hear from all kinds of people. So of course, the value of the dollar goes down, inflation goes up, and the people who own assets, this may seem like a good thing. And it was this way in Weimar Germany as well. The housing went up for a while. But then you find actually it ends up impoverishing everybody and leading to social revolution, because the people who work get screwed by inflation because their wages never go up as much as the inflation does. If you're sitting in a house, yeah, maybe your house goes up $5,000, $10,000, $15,000 a month due to this money printing. But if you're working, all that happens is the prices go up. Your wages may go up a little, but the prices of everyday stuff you need go up a lot. And this is how the people at the top screw the people at the bottom and steal. This is how the wealth trickles upward from the 99% or the 90% to the top 10% and more than that, the top 1%. And this is what's been going on extremely at a much more of a faster tempo the last 2 years, but overall the last 40, 50 years. And so, you know, these things take time. You know, there's a lot of ruin in a nation, as someone said famously a couple hundred years ago, but eventually we're getting there. When you combine this with the demographics, the demographic terrorism the USA is practicing against rural America, like Kirksville, and the financial terrorism these rich Jews in D.C. and New York are practicing against the entire world, this is what's starting to happen. And of course, they have to deplatform people like us because they don't want you to know the truth. They want you only hearing the lies like the people at the Washington Post do.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, Alex, this thing is definitely, I also think we're going to be, it's Weimar Germany, but it's going to be Weimar Germany across the earth. The stuff that they're starting in America, it's going to have knock-on effects. The US dollar has, you know, is all over the show. In many parts of Africa, the blacks use U.S. dollars as their main currency because their own currencies are buggered. And I mean, just across the border in Zimbabwe, you know, in 20 years ago, 15, 20 years ago, they went through hyperinflation, actual real hyperinflation, as bad, if not worse, than the Weimar Republic, where you literally, if you get paid on Friday, you better go and buy your food within a day or two, because if you don't, the prices will double and quadruple within like 2 days. It's like worked like that in Zimbabwe. And so, you know, and you're right, the rich are basically stealing everything. And the other thing is the Fed is artificially also buying up all of the, they're buying up shares in the big companies in order to stop the stock market crashing. So all those trillions that they're printing, they're buying actual shares in the stock market. I can't remember what the percentage was, Alex, but maybe you know the percentage, but I'm sure that I've seen figures where the Fed owns, I talked just off the top of my head.
I don't know, but they weren't doing that until a couple of years ago. And see, this is what one thing I was going to say. You see, when they used to put out, okay, their normal tone is they create debt by typing in the computer, and then the U.S. taxpayer rolls it, and they put out notes that are bought by the rest of the world. And they used to be bought by Europe, and they used to be bought, and then they were bought by Japan, and then they were bought by China. And then maybe about 2016, all these people realized, like, these suckers are going under. Why in the world would we want to spend more money buying U.S. backed notes? And so what they're doing is, you know, they also sold all of our manufacturing over to Asia, which now that we have the supply chain crisis is a huge thing. I mean, we literally saw, well, we couldn't even get COVID masks because we didn't make them here at the start of this bogus pandemic. So the point is they to squeeze out every last dollar and get their labor costs lower, because ultimately they don't want to pay the working man a fair amount. So they want to squeeze the labor down as low as possible, ship it off to the Chinese coolies, have them make everything, and then we buy everything on credit. And like Kaiser says, there's an interest rate apartheid. The average guy, the average pro who say working at, you know, say they're working at Casey's, the overnight shift, making, you know, 10 bucks an hour, and they got two or three kids, they're quickly having to run and get high interest loans. So they're going to pay 25% on their credit card. They're going to pay 25% on their title loan or something. Whereas the billionaires get loans for free, and they're screwed because the prices keep going up. Their wages go up a little, but not much. And there's no manufacturing. You can't just get out of high school and walk into a nice manufacturing job, and by the time you're 27, be married, have a couple kids, and have a little cottage up in a lake in Wisconsin for the summer. That's how it used to be. Well, that's long gone, and now they've shipped those manufacturing jobs abroad, and they've started giving out so much money, people don't even want to work anyway. So it's such a complete and utter mess. And yet the right thing to do is absolutely known. From you could study history, or you could simply use your brain to figure out that when you provide perverse incentives, you're destroying society. And we've had a system that's been so ingrained and so expanded and so miscovered by the media, so flipped. The reality has been so flipped that no one can identify even what's wrong. They've been forced down the channels of wrongness for so long, they don't even know which way is up. I mean, they only have people like us to tell them, and we try to tell them, and then they deplatform your site. So the second you get any kind of an audience, anyone who gets into reality a little bit and is reliable and repetitive and you can trust on them, soon enough, they'll be wiped off of YouTube. They'll be destroyed because they're giving you, they don't want you getting the good stuff. They want you getting the lies, and they just keep checking you and checking you. Start again, start over. And eventually people are like, fuck it. What's the point? I can't get far enough. I might as well give up. And that's what they intend. So it has to come from different people, and there has to be a constant feed of new people giving you a little bit of reality, and that's about the best we can do. There really is no way of reforming the system. This simply have to identify the Jews as the problem and just destroy them. And that's what we've been saying all the way along. And it's not spirits and principalities of the air and fighting the devil. There's so much garbage out there that if you don't believe, just Christian dishonesty. If you're not Christian, you're a nihilist. They do exactly the same false framing Jews do. If you don't support their entire agenda, you're a phobe or an ist, right? But Christianity is that same bogus, illogical, anti-logical way of arguing. If you don't believe in Christian, you're a nihilist. No, you're not. There's other things to believe believe than in Christianity. There's a larger forced false menu is a logical fallacy. And so, you know, they like to blame Nietzsche, and they'll blame any German, and they'll even call him a German, but they'll never talk about Jews who are at the bottom of all this financial and demographic terrorism. That's why we're here. That's why we bother doing this. But yeah, so I would say to people, you pretty much have to get into Bitcoin and hope that a lot of a peaceful, Kaiser always emphasized the social, peaceful, loving revolution can come out of this. Whereas the USA is turning into a trash heap between Canada and Mexico, he said recently. But so he is actually taking up citizenship in El Salvador and moving down there because he wants to be at the tip of the spear of this global Bitcoin revolution. So this is probably, to me, almost the most interesting thing to watch in the coming year, because I know what's going to happen in the USA. It's going to, you know, if nothing appears to change the trends will keep going. And we all know what the trends are. The media is going to be uniformly anti-white. The government is going to be uniformly anti-white. The schools are going to be uniformly anti-white. They're going to encourage and promote blacks running over white kids and attacks on whites and blah, 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 mediocre whites and fragile whites. And probably we'll see a few new adjectives applied to insult whites racially. And then the fake opposition, the conservative Christian cowards, the other liberals, the weak sisters will insist that none of this is an attack upon whiteness, which does or doesn't exist. But if it does exist, it's no good and certainly not what they're attacking. And meanwhile, all the Christian churches will remain open and Christianity will remain all over the mass media. Never yet had anyone even dare to try to answer why, if Jews hate Christianity, this is really, there's no more right NPC is a thing. And the Jews hate the Jesus is right NPC. Okay, non-player character, that very excellent meme that they use for the left. Well, that's on the right too, and believing that Jews hate Christianity is absolutely right NPC. If Jews hated Christianity, they wouldn't allow it in the mass media the same way they allow, they don't allow white nationalism in the mass media. So, yeah, watching what's going on in El Salvador and seeing what happens down there, their economy is already growing from their buying. What happened there, their president, Nayib Kelly, who is taking advice from Max Kaiser, bought a bunch of Bitcoin as the leader of the country. It's a little bite-sized country. It's, I don't know how many people, like 7 million, probably there's 1.5 million El Salvadorans in the USA. There were a lot of them in Virginia when I was back there. I think that's their biggest center outside of El Salvador proper is Alexandria or some suburbs of Virginia around Washington, D.C. is where the largest migrant population of El Salvadorans is who left El Salvador to move abroad. And they're still leaving there. But it'll be very, very interesting to see not only if other Latin America or South American countries make Bitcoin legal tender, as Nayib Bukele has done in El Salvador, but to see if the migration outflows, and we still have these marches up from Honduras and Guatemala, people just trying to physically move to the USA like in Camp of the Saints style, to see if some of these stop or reverse if the economy does in fact get better in the Bitcoin city and the other areas of El Salvador that as they do these volcano bonds, that is the power needed to drive the computing to process the Bitcoins on the nodes of their network is drawn from the free geophysical resources of the volcanoes that are active in El Salvador. You know, the little isthmus that is Central America there is full of volcanoes, Nicaragua and El Salvador. So they use that power to drive the computers to process the Bitcoin. That's pretty neat, isn't it? So in fact, when it's used as a bogus complaint against Bitcoin, that it's not a green technology. In fact, it's far greener than anything else. It will ultimately be good for the environment. And another thing that we want to watch within the USA and why I think personally I might ultimately like to end up in Texas is that a lot of the miners of Bitcoin that left China ended up in Texas. And Texas has a much more pro-business attitude than most of the US, which has turned into your typical sclerotic European garbage type environment where people dream of working for the government or being paid benefits by the government, like in the UK, instead of actually doing something to improve their own lives. But Texas is the least like that of all the states, I would say, and I've been to Texas many times. Texas might conceivably, if go further down the separation or the secession or the Bitcoin paths, any one of those would be perfectly good. But a lot of people are moving down there, not just Elon Musk, probably the most, I don't like him, but at least he's doing a bunch of different things. He's developing down there at the very SpaceX at the very tip of South Texas, South Padre, which I really like that area down there. Also in Austin, you've got a lot of intellectuals, a lot of left-wing stuff, but some interesting stuff, and more of a Bitcoin frontier type place, as is Miami, oddly enough. And even New York is trying to get in on the Bitcoin stuff. This is about the sole positive thing. Every other trend in the USA is basically negative, I would have to say.
Well, Alex, I just want to read to you some things that I found, because the point that I'm trying to make is that the Fed and the super rich are actually cleaning up everything. They are going to own almost everything. Here is a website that I found. It's called Wall Street on Parade, and it looks really good. And I was looking for some numbers on what the Fed is doing. So just hear me out. I'll tell you when I'm finished. It says here, the Federal Reserve now owns 15% of the U.S. Treasury market. At its current rate, it could own the whole market in less than 2 years. But listen, here's more. Another headline they've got is, the New York Fed has allowed dangerous Wall Street banks to have lower loan loss reserves than at the time of the 2008 crash. In other words, the banks are going to be in a worse position than they were in 2008 when the first big crash came down. But listen to this. The wealthiest 10% of Americans own a record of 89% of all U.S. stocks. And it says the top 1%, you know who, the top 1% gained over $6 trillion in corporate equities and mutual fund wealth during the pandemic, according to the latest data from the Federal Reserve. Let me just see. There's just one more headline I want to mention. The bottom 90% of Americans held about 11% of stocks and added $1.2 trillion. So the bottom line is that the 90% gained some wealth out of all of this money printing, but the top 1% walked away with $6.5 trillion. So between the top 1% and the top 10% and the Fed itself, within a short space of time, most of everything is going to be owned by them. And that is freaky. That is freaky.
Yeah, the wealth is centralized increasingly in the top 1%, and they get that by printing the money and then stealing these assets.
Yes.
Buying up that, and that's what the Great Reset, you'll own nothing and you'll be happy, because their BlackRock will own it all and then rent it back to you. And a lot more Americans are living in trailer parks than ever used to, or they're homeless.
Is that so, hey? Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, Alex. So
that's the USA for you, but.
Well, the other side of the coin is that I'm happy that the system is breaking, because I'm sick of the system. And I think the system needs to be torn down, to be frank with you. Did you see that there was a U.S. congressman or so who put out a Christmas card showing him and all the members of his family with AR-15s around their Christmas tree? Did you see that?
No, I didn't see that.
Well, I love that thing. The whole family is there all around the Christmas tree. I forget the guy's name. I'd have to look it up. But it looked pretty good. The men and the women, and they all had big smiles, and they had these AR-15s. And I thought to myself, and they were saying like Merry Christmas. And I use that as my sort of Christmas card from my website to all whites, which is, you know, over and above the other prepping that you're doing, financial, be careful, maybe food, but also buy some weapons and buy ammo, because you're going to be needing it in the years to come, because that's going to be the most important thing. I think, Alex, that basically they're just going to carry on doing what they're doing, stealing and carrying on, drunk on power, the Jews and their rich buddies. And that in the end, the only thing that's going to come out is people are going to have to learn that you're going to need some weapons, and you're going to need to start taking a stand. Because I can't see how this can end in any other way. And historically, the only way things end is eventually people get sick and tired of it and they get angry. And the common man only has access to his pitchfork, or in the modern day, his rifle. You know, I can't see how this can end in any other way. But I'll tell you what I think. When I look at the arrogance of the elite, of the elite, the rich, as well as their puppets in high positions, you know, the presidents and so forth, I think that they are absolutely convinced that as this baby comes together, as this plan of theirs comes together, and they've pushed the whites out everywhere, and they've brought in the large numbers of non-whites to vote for them. And as you were saying, where you were saying they're talking about our democracy, you know, only Trump and others are a threat to our democracy. So suddenly the democracy belongs to them, and they're the only ones that apparently control it and know how to run it. I think that they are absolutely convinced that they're going to get the whites of America, the whites of Canada, Australia, Europe, that they're going to get everybody down, and that if the whites start to try to resist, that with their newfound non-white buddies and all the Jews owning everything, that they'll be able to continue crushing whites. And I think that as they carry on pushing people crazier and crazier like this, there's going to come a point where there are people that are going to start picking up weapons. And as for the Christian types who are always praying and hoping and hoping and praying, all that kind of stuff, all those kinds of people who think in terms of hope and prayer and that kind of thing, eventually people will see, no, there's a black busy kicking in my fucking door. He's coming to kill me, you know. If it's not the black, it's going to be somebody else, or the rich is going to evict me from my fucking house. And at the pace it's going, I'm quite happy that this stuff is going to happen in your and my lifetime. I will be very happy to live through it. I can't wait for it, to be honest with you, Alex, because I think this is going to be our chance to tear the fucking system down. And I'm noticing that there are lots of whites who are starting to wake up to the fact that there's some kind of weird politics going on. I saw the guy who owns Brightian, the guy who does the Health Ranger. He's trying to not be racial, and he's still loving Jews and stuff. But I saw him post a thing yesterday where he was putting out a video, and he said that white people in some places in America are being refused treatment at hospitals purely because they're white. So, you know, it's going to take a little while, but people are going to realize that, hello, this is against you, man. And it doesn't matter whether you're a liberal or you're a what. All that's going to matter is you're white and the system's coming to fuck you, man. And it's going to fuck you in every way it possibly can. And I don't think people are going to be able to handle this for too long. At the pace it's going, I think within 10 years, the world's going to be a very, very wild place compared to what it is what it is. And I mean, we've already seen massive changes in just 2 years. COVID is definitely the trick they're trying to use to break everything. And but I honestly can't see people. I honestly can't see people remaining quiet indefinitely, because there's a quote from Napoleon, where Napoleon said this. He said that people are more likely to fight for their are less likely to fight for their. It's about not really fighting for your rights. You know, there are many people who say you must fight for your rights. It's not that. It's when it comes and it affects you personally, that's when you'll fight. When the guy's at the door, when some black or some government agent is, or some debt collector for the Jews are busy taking away your home and that kind of stuff, that's when people are going to lose their shit. But I like the madness, Alex. As unsettling as it is, I like it. I think this is the only way that this thing's going to break. And also, I've also been watching the military, like the U.S. military. And there was something that I think I saw on Pyville. I think I'm not sure if it was on Pyville that I saw it or somewhere else, where they were going to force vaccinate, I think, the Italian military. And the next thing you knew is the warehouse where all the vaccinations were for the military suddenly caught fire.
Yeah, so, I think so.
So I look at military people that are trying to avoid vaccinations and resignations and all this churning and weird stuff. I think it's got to lead to war. And I think the Jews also want war because they want to be able to control and see to it that the wrong people kill the wrong other people. But I think there's some things that they are miscalculating on. I still say that when push comes to shove and whites have their backs against the wall, you're going to see some interesting things.
I think they'd be willing to fight if they had some leadership. But the system's one thing it does is prevent whites from organizing, and that's really what you see in the Charlottesville thing. These are a bunch of guys, a few hundred people out there at most, with a permit. And now they're all sued and $26 million. And then you've got the church pointing at them and gleefully, oh, see, you need to go into a church where you're safe. It's just because you call yourself white that they're attacking you. If you would stop doing that, why, you would be safe and good. I mean, the church is what produces the – it's like a cuck factory. It's the home for cucks. And there is no cuck who's not a Christian. If you look at the U.S. Congress – and you look at the commentary at all the commentators out there, they're all the ones who are cucks are all the Christians. So they've manufactured the ultimate fake person. You know, people say, oh, Jews come up with all these fake personalities like Redneck and Harley Davidson and these white people. What is that other than Christianity? I'm a real Jew. You know, they're all hung up on another nation, you know, like Marcus Eli Ravage. I always talk about him because he gave the game away. Pointing out to whites, you're so fucking, you oppose Jews superficially, but why don't you profoundly? Your entire thing is based on our national literature, the yes. Bible, bunch of Jewish lies, and white people obsessed and naming their kids after Jews and saying we're the real Jews, or we superseded the atomic Jews with our spiritual supersession, or we're just like the Jews in the Old Testament, creating a new Zion here in Utah, or we are literally descendants of the Jews, like the British Israelis, British yes. Israelism, which became Christian identity in North America. It's all modeled on Jewish garbage from the Bible. This is absurd. Why don't yeah. we worry about our own people? And so, but yeah, I think if you have some actual leadership, whites would be willing to kill, and they'd be very, very good at it. But right now, it is the purpose and the way of keeping itself in power, as people increasingly realize the kind of things we're saying here in Team White. The purpose of the regime is to keep itself in power by preventing any real opposition from even forming. You know, well, and it's not just like the way they discriminate against the people who were meeting in Charlottesville, but even like Trump, who, as I've said from the Washington Post, they see Trump as us, even though he obviously isn't. To us, it's obvious he's not us. To them, we're all the same. We're not part of their cult. So they hate us. Trump couldn't even get lawyers in the most important states to contest the election, the obviously stolen election, because they were afraid of being blackballed in their profession. So this is what the left is really, really good at, is creating a team that absolutely harasses and destroys every other competing team. And that means deplatforming them so no one else can get a message out. That means taking over all the main institutions in society so that they can literally live off the people they hate while destroying them. So you see why they have such utter contempt for us, because they are living off of us. They're paid as teachers, as journalists, as officials, as members of the bureaucracy, whether the shallow state or the deep state. They are paid out of the pockets of the white flyover people they hate. And that makes them have ultimate contempt for us. And well, it's too late to change this at this point.
Well, Alex, if I look at various revolutions and things that have taken place, you can keep hitting people and pushing them back, but there is a limit to how far you can go. Their anger will increase, their quiet hatred will increase, and eventually one day, their system will fail. So they must just carry on. And what is also good, which I like, is they are going wildly after all whites, including the whites who are actually on their side. And they're targeting whites, but they're hitting all whites, including whites who are non-racial. And eventually that too will backfire on them. So let them carry on breaking the white right as much as they can. I don't think that they're going to have it as easy all the time. I think that they'll find that people learn and the resistance is there. Like I was looking even at BitChute, when they were going after BitChute, and quite a lot of us thought that, you know, maybe this is the end of BitChute, but I've actually been watching BitChute and it's still hanging in there. And it's doing okay. So I don't think that all their tactics are working that well. And the big thing for me is just watching whites everywhere waking up. Thanks to COVID. COVID's really helping a lot. Something else I wanted to tell you is I came across an interesting little story of MIT, I think it was MIT, ran some computer simulations in the early days of computers in 1972 or 1973. And they were trying to predict the future. And so what they did was they got the five most important parameters, things like population growth, rate of population growth, rate of innovation, I think economic growth. There were in total five major things that five major trends that are important for a nation. And so they had a formula for working with these trends. And then what they did was they didn't really know, they don't know the future, but what they decided to do was to create a bunch of scenarios. So they'd create like a good scenario. And in the good scenario, the population growth or the rate of innovation grows at a great pace. It actually goes better than you expect. The economy grows better than you expect. And then they had these different scenarios, which went from like the best scenario to the worst scenario. And so they ran all of those scenarios through their computer system, and they printed out these charts of what would happen. And a very interesting thing came out of it. And it was that when they looked at all the different scenarios, the good ones and the bad ones, the one interesting thing that they noticed was that round about the year 2040, regardless of whether it's the good scenario or the average scenario or the worst scenario, round about the 2040s, everything goes bad. And so that was quite an interesting outcome from running all the scenarios, that there seemed to be some kind of answer that might have some use. So I found that quite interesting.
Yeah, well, it's plenty bad right now.
Yeah, and it looks, and from what I mean, I'm looking at things and I'm saying that, like, even in the 2020s are going to be crazy. It's going to be wild.
Yeah, they also can't predict the rise of technology that allows for totalitarian control of the individual. So it looks like what they're ultimately going to do is get everything wired up. So you have smart. Everything in your house is smart. And then the ultimate control, though, is digital money. And see, this is why, if it's not Bitcoin, you're going to get central bank, get rid of the paper cash so that all money is trackable. And money is technology when it's digital, so they can alter it. They can give it to whom they want. They can impose whatever conditions they want on it. Like, you must spend it within X amount of time, or you must spend it on this, but not on that. And if you don't, then we will simply, with a click, erase it. They're going to make it impossible for anybody to build up any kind of capital, because you build up capital, then you have culture and you have the ability to compete with them politically. And they don't want that. They want to keep everybody essentially at subsistence wages, where they're, or even if we may be even getting beyond that, to where they're simply going to pay them the UBI, the universal benefits income, and pay them to simply play video games and smoke pot each month, but never really develop it all. And then they will run everything, and humans will be essentially ear tagged like cattle. That's what I think they're driving at more than anything. And Bitcoin is the one technical way of getting around this. If we can get it out there to replace these horrible Jew-controlled, Jew central bank created fiat monies that control, that are found everywhere else in the world. And maybe I would like to see Russia do a lot more in Bitcoin, mining it and whatever, but at least getting out of the U.S. financial system will put additional pressure on it that is only a good, if it's not as good as simply switching over to Bitcoin the way El Salvador has. So that's the good thing. I don't, the bad stuff, yeah, it's all there and getting worse in a lot of ways.
Well, Alex, I laughed at what you were saying. I'll get back to that. I saw that China has banned Bitcoin. China's banned it. And I actually posted an article that Russia is considering banning Bitcoin.
It doesn't really mean anything, though. I mean, they banned it at different points in the past. India, in particular, has banned it and unbanned it many times. Bitcoin is not centralized. That's the whole point about it. It's the biggest, most decentralized, most secure network that's ever existed on computers. So banning it doesn't really mean all that much. What they can do is kind of regulate and tax on ramps, where you get on an exchange so that you have to pay taxes if you sell a bunch, but they can't really ban it, because all you need is the seed phrase in your head, and you can go anywhere in the world. You don't even need a wallet, and you can reconstitute it and claim it. It's just a bunch of computers essentially agreeing on stuff, which is called the ledger. And that's all Bitcoin is. It's not something that they can really ban. And even if they do, they still own it. And the politicians themselves are starting to buy it because they understand what's coming. So they're going to incorporate it into their system as best they can. But if we do get to the point where it's used as money, it's going to make it impossible for them to start all these fiat wars. It's going to make it a lot harder to cheat and swindle, and perhaps usher in a new and better era. We'll see.
Well, the only reason that I sat and thought about China and Russia talking about banning Bitcoin, because China's busy banning a lot of stuff. China's busy with the whole purge in every way imaginable. But I thought to myself, maybe
they kicked out the Bitcoin miners, but I don't know. They may formally ban it, but there's plenty of people who have it. They're just not like allowing exchanges and stuff. But they kicked out the miners. Some people say they went to Kazakhstan, some went to Texas. But that ultimately will only hurt China if that's true. And I've heard people say it's not actually true. They still control them. They're just outside of China. I don't know. But people can mine wherever. It doesn't matter. Bitcoin is not a centralized thing that can be choked off.
Well, I just thought that maybe it's the Jewish influence. That's actually what I was wondering, was whether China and Russia China definitely banning it and Russia talking about it. I was wondering if it was the Jewish influence, because
I don't think so.
It was just a thought in my, I wondered. But your thing where you're talking about playing computer games and smoking pot, are you referring to the metaverse, what's the name of this stupid
That's the next evolution of that, and digital online property and representing everything in the world as a digital thing that people can buy. There's some value to that, I suppose, but then there's also just living inside of the virtual world, so you're 367. That is, to me, has no interest at all, but presumably a lot of the people who play video games, you know, this would be the furthest or the next evolution of that, and they might be interested in that. I don't know. I think I'm not really interested in it, but there will be some valid financial stuff so that you could say sell shares and some artwork or buy other things. But I don't know. I'm more interested in first. I think the first and most important thing is really Bitcoin and getting the, as they say, layer one, you know, transfer of value with this absolute limit of 21 million that anybody in the world can participate in on equal terms. That is the thing that interests me. Now, the metaverse, not really interested in. I don't want to be in some environment owned by a Jew like Zuckerberg. Well, I'm not on Facebook. I don't want to be in Meta either.
Well, same here, but I was just wondering whether this metaverse is another Jewish attempt to get people away from reality. You take them away from reality, you take the weaklings and those who want to run away, take them away from reality, you make them do silly things and waste their time while the Jews steal the whole real world. that's the way I was looking at it.
Yeah, well, yeah, I mean, like someone said, I forget, heaven was the first metaverse, you know?
Nice. I can't remember. Yes.
I mean, They create fantastic, delusional, non-real things and then sell them to goyims. Out of the air, they make money, you know, and there's a large part of that, whereas Bitcoin is not making anybody any money. It's not making the creators any money. It's basically a gift that was given to mankind, as best I can tell. I don't know about the holy origin, some claim for it, but no one knows who the guy who actually created it was. And maybe, you know, some people theorize because of that it's a government thing. If so, it's the most competent thing the government has ever done. And I never heard of the U.S. government doing anything competently.
Yeah.
At best, they do a few shitty things at an extraordinary cost. But if they created Bitcoin, more power to them, they win. But, you know, I don't think the people who are trillions and trillions in debt are going to have created Bitcoin in the end.
Yeah, I was looking into this thing of who's created it. And I saw that court case that was won by an Australian guy who claims that he's the creator of
Bitcoin. Yeah, that's Bitcoin. Craig Wright is pretty much, from what I can tell, and I'm not deep into this, but he's universally regarded as a crook and a con man.
That was what I was wondering. So anyway, so we don't know, but there was something I was reading which seemed to almost point to not him, but other people, and it looked to me like it was a bunch of white guys.
It is. The ones, yeah, Hal Finney, Adam Bach, even Max Kaiser, some of these other ones were there at the start. Pretty Nick Szabo or Szabo or however it's pronounced. Yeah, it was all white guys, not non-Jew white guys, basically.
Yes, yes. It looks to me like Bitcoin really is definitely created by whites. It's not by that Japanese.
I would think
sounding,
so, but even if it wasn't, guy. Who cares? No, that was just a name. That was just a name whoever did it took on, or maybe it was multiple people. And in any case, it's not pure sui generis, or however that is pronounced. I may be butchering it. Because it was taken from bits of ideas that have been floating around. Even Kaiser had tried himself to do like a Hollywood electronic cash version of a thing. It was taken bits of ideas, put together, and made even better somehow. And they claim it's a discovery more than an invention of absolute scarcity, digitally guaranteed. And so far, nothing's been able to break it. And it's deliberately aimed. It was caused by the 2008 crash out of anger at the government doing just a 10% of what it's doing now at a much greater scale. And it's deliberately designed to destroy central banking. Now, not one of these people will ever mention it's based on game theory, whatever that means. People are always talking about it. So it's intends attacks make it stronger, I guess is what that translates into functionally, that it's based on destroying it intends to destroy central banking, because central banking and the printing of money is what, and fiat generally, is what is creating all this misery in the world. Now, none of them will ever mention that central banking is 99.9% Jewish. Yes. In theory, anyone could run a central bank, but they would still have the same incentives to steal from everybody else. So you could say that on one hand, that doesn't really matter, but it's still kind of interesting to notice that in reality, all these actual central banks that actually exist and actually employ people are all a bunch of Jews. That's still kind of relevant that we know as white nationalists. So that's the part that perhaps we all can add to the debate about Bitcoin. And more recently, we've seen the SPLC and other anti-white hate groups start talking about how, hey, these white nationalists have stolen a march, and we've tracked their public addresses. They receive Bitcoin ad, and there's a number of people who've gotten seven figures of Bitcoin out of this. It's like, well, you deplatformed them everywhere else. Are you surprised that they turn to an honest alternative money? Just the way you made them go somewhere else to get their views out. You know, I mean, they refuse, of course. They're fighting hate. So everything they do is justified. But yeah, this is, again, why white people should be turning to this sort of thing. And Bitcoin has treaded water for pretty much the whole of 2021, as I've been recommending it. It has not really gone up in price. It's gone up and down, and it will. It will continue to do that. I'm talking about the long term, as I've always said, for 10 years. And I was recommending it back when it was a few thousand, like 3,000, instead of now when it's, whatever it is, I don't know, 48. I haven't been watching it too closely the last month, but I did watch it closely over 2021. It went up, it went down. It's very hard to tell what it's going to do in the short term. The people on YouTube, I've now watched less of them. They're all shills. Now, I predicted that they're all promoting it beyond where it might actually be, even if their fundamental arguments are correct. The timing is as key as anything. The timing is extremely hard. And you're going to see one more day, and I can gloat. My prediction of the year-end price of Bitcoin was 76,000. And Max Kaiser's prediction, and he's probably the best analyst, was 226,000. He's going to be wrong. Plan B, who had the model that was exactly spot on for 3 months, predicted no less than 135,000 as his floor model at the end of December. He's going to be wrong. I will be closer than he. I will be closer than anyone. And I don't claim that I know 1/100th as much as these other people. But what I do know is shills. And so the way I calculated it was looking at what they're saying and then pulling down my eyelid and giving it the gimlet eye and saying, yeah, let's just back off on that a little. And even there at 76, I'm still going to be off by quite a bit, because it's probably going to be right around 50,000. But it was as high as 69,000 earlier in the year, and it's been as low as like 29,800 or something. So it does go up and down quite a bit. But I think ultimately it will get to the level of hundreds of thousands these people are talking about, and probably into the millions is what I actually believe. But will that happen in 1 year or 10 years? I don't know. And I will not make any more predictions, because it's basically a stupid to predict stuff like this, where you really truly can't know. And all these guys who sit around wasting their time studying charts, they can't predict it any better than anybody else. So if you're going to rely on them, then the last 2 months, Plan B, probably the most famous predictor out there, at least in the 2021, said it was going to be 98,000 in November and 135 in December, and it was not close to either one of those. He was only off by 40,000 in November, and he's going to be off by, you know, essentially 60, 70,000 in December. But all this means in the end, probably, in my view, is their timing is wrong. It takes more time than you think. And you got big dogs in there and you get all these people get in there. And what they do is they get in leveraged. So they put up a little to win a lot. And if people have billions, sink them in the futures market over and over and liquidate them. And this overall, as best I can tell, is part of what's keeping the price perhaps a little lower than it really should be. Kind of like gold, I shudder to say, Bitcoin probably should be 10 times higher than what it is. It probably should be, I mean, right now, even before everybody's gotten into it, it probably should be a half million right now. Just as gold should probably be, you know, 20,000 itself, silver should probably be 100. Another one I got right and Kaiser got wrong. Kaiser said silver was going to be 100 at the end of the year, and I said it was going to be 26. And I'm going to actually check that right now.
Yeah.
Last I checked, it was right at, I think it was 23 last time I checked. Right now, silver is 23.11. I said it was 26. He said 100. So I said, yeah, it's going to dick around. It's going to be exactly where it was right now. And it is, except it's even dropped $3 rather so far from going up. So these guys on the internet, don't listen to their fundamental analysis. Don't listen to the technical and the rest of that analysis. They're shilling to get eyeballs to get money, a lot of them, or not even to get money. Kaiser doesn't need money. They're shilling just to get attention and spitement. They're trying to promote Bitcoin and get people to use it. So am I in a sense, but not when I make a prediction. I'm trying to get it actually right. They are trying to drive the market. I'm not. When I predict it, I am trying to get it as right as I can. And basically, predictions are like that are stupid, and I will not make another one in relation to price. But my point is I was closer than they were, unless something really wacky happens in the next 36 hours, which it won't, which it will not. But I haven't even checked Bitcoin in the last couple of weeks. I think it's like 48 or 50,000 or something, but in the longer run, I don't know of anything else better to invest in. If you have assets, you probably hold them while they keep inflating. There will be a gigantic crash at some point, as there was in 2008. I don't know when that will be. I have zero ability to predict when that will be. And you listen to these silver and gold bugs. They're always going to tell, oh, the market is manipulated. Well, okay. The people are manipulating, keep manipulating. There's nothing I can do about that. The central banks own most of the gold. They can do fake paper trades. Somehow they're able to suppress the silver and the gold market. We don't think they can suppress the Bitcoin market in the same way. We don't think it's possible. So they can't keep a long, like I say, gold and silver should be much higher than they are, but these banks have the ability to suppress that to allow their deficit spending to continue and their money printing to continue. But Bitcoin is supposed to be a way that they can't suppress the price of ultimately. And that would seem to be proved by Bitcoin going up basically 100, 200% for 10, 12 years in a row. Maybe it went up less this year than it has, but overall it's been 190 or pretty close to 200% a year for 12 years running. So seems like a pretty good investment. It figures to be the top asset of the next 10 years, as it has been the last 10 years. That's what I at least am saying to you. I don't know if you want to second that, Jan, but.
Alex, when it comes to gold and silver, I definitely think the market is being manipulated. And I'll tell you why, because look at, as I was describing with the Fed, the Fed printing all those trillions of dollars and then buying real stocks with it. The bottom line is that the people who control the system need to keep on fooling the masses into believing the system is real and the system is stable when it clearly isn't. And so I think that they have to manipulate these things because, as I explained, If they don't manipulate it, the whole Ponzi scheme falls apart. And when the Ponzi scheme falls apart, the stock markets will crash, gold and silver will go through the roof, etc. But they've got to keep a lid on it, because when that happens, everything falls apart. People are going to go wild. So I think that they have to manipulate gold and silver. They have to, because gold and silver would also prove the right wing correct, etc. And they cannot allow that. They cannot allow whites to be right. They can't allow our message to be correct. That's the way I see it.
Yeah, well, they paid fines for manipulating the silver market. So, but it's, you know, as they say, a slap on the wrist. They keep doing it, and it's just so completely, thoroughly corrupt. Now, my point is, you can buy gold and silver and wait for a time when they're not able to suppress it, and maybe it will go up. But I would bet you Bitcoin's going to go up more. There's every reason in the world for gold to have doubled, tripled, quadrupled, and it hasn't moved at all. It's sitting right around 1800 the way it has been. So I don't see why that wouldn't continue.
Yeah,
Bitcoin overall has been going up. I think that will continue.
No, you got good points there, Alex. Yeah, but I do think that that still the endless printing of money has to have some negative outcome eventually.
It will, but eventually. The question is when, and we don't know when. Yes, it is having a negative outcome right now, but when will this giant crash be? I don't know. I wouldn't even begin to be able to guess that, and I don't believe anyone else can either. There's always going to be people who come to you with absolute certainty and tell you what's going to happen, and they're almost always wrong.
And agreed. So agreed.
All you got to understand is you understand the incentives, understand the fundamentals of the technology and the different forms of assets, and get the good ones and don't worry about the rest too much. And then if you got ready money, whatever is down, you buy it when it's down. As best I can tell, the best strategy for Bitcoin is not dollar cost averaging. It's not trying to time the market, unless you consider this time in the market. There's one indicator, the fear and greed index. Basically, only buy when it's under 50, when it's more fearful than greedy. And if you want to be more restrictive, only buy when it's under 30 or under 20 even. And that way, because the thing that's hard to resist is the FOMO, the fear of missing out. As it starts going up, you're like, oh God, it's 68. It's just about to go into the 70s and 80s. This is my last chance to buy. At 60, so you buy it at 68. Next thing you know, it's 64. A couple of weeks later, it's 58. Then it's 45, then 42. Then it goes back to, and you're like, fuck. And if you buy when the fear greed index is on the greed, and this is a real thing. I'm not making this up as a name or a way of characterizing it. This is literally what they call it, a fear greed index. I don't know who creates it or whatever, but if you just buy when that is low, when that's on the fear side, like the numbers like 17, when people are really fearful, that's when you buy best. Okay. So I think
like
ultimately that is the best, and it's damn near the easiest way to do it. You could also say dollar cost averaging, just, you know, put in X amount a month or week or whatever time you want and whatever amount you want. But I think you can do a little better than that without being complicated. I would just say buy when it's the fear is high. And that's a version of what the most famous investors have said, you know, buy when there's blood in the streets. When others are greedy, be fearful. When others are fearful, be greedy. When they want nothing to do with it, that's when you want to get it. And that is ultimately you have to be. And it's hard for people to do, because one of the hardest things for people to overcome is their natural bait fish inability to disagree with and go against authority. And the Jews know that, and that's why they go for the high positions, and then they can dictate to everybody else, because they can work these natural tropisms to obey authority and strengthen them with stuff like Christianity to obey authority. What if authority is wrong and corrupt and telling you to do things that will literally sicken you, like get these clot shots? Well, look how many people are willing to do that and risk their health to go along with authority. And it's the same in money as it is with everything else. So, you know, you have to go against your natural impulse to obey actual authority to agree to go along with nominal authority, that is people who hold the official powers, why should you believe me and Jan instead of Fox News or CNN? I mean, he's some clown in South Africa. I'm some clown in Northeast Missouri. Why should you believe us rather than some self-important child molester sitting in a CNN office? They have the credibility. They're the ones who have $2 million contracts. We don't. So why should you believe us? There's only one reason I can see, and that's because we're right. Or we're right a lot more often than authority is, because God knows there's a cost in doing what we do. We've all paid it. Jan, me, Allison, Albert in Germany, lots of these other people. So why should you believe us unless we have something very powerful that we're saying, and that would be something that's true and could potentially have a very big, good effect on your life, or at least merely your understanding what's actually going on. And that's why we do this.
Well, Alex, I looked at when you said fear and greed index, I'd never heard of it. And I quickly went and looked at it and I found it. And the fear and greed index right now is at 54. 100 is extreme greed, but I see.
Yeah. The last few weeks it's been all fearful, and now it's just flipped slightly over to greedy. So that's what I'm saying. It should be under. Who does that index anyway? I see a lot of guys cite it, but I never knew who actually makes that index.
I found it on CNN Business, believe it or not.
Is that for Bitcoin or is that for something else though?
Okay, I just see a thing called fear and greed index. It doesn't seem to be for Bitcoin.
It's got to be fear and greed for Bitcoin is what I think, at least. I might be wrong. I've seen a number of people, not CNN, not mainstream stuff, but like Bitcoin analysts will cite the fear and greed. There's a guy who does a daily crypto show. I forget what his name is. He does the fear greed index, and it's been well under 50 for a while, but it's probably getting back toward 50. So 54 does sound about right. But the last I've heard, it's been under.
I think I've found something. It's called alternative, and it's fear. And I look for fear and greed index for crypto, and it is currently at 22.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I remember it being a little higher than that. But that is a very good time to buy. A very good time to buy. Not quite as good as like 17 or 15 or 13, but that's about as low as I've ever seen it is in the teens. So this is better than 90% of the other ratings almost.
Well, now that you've mentioned it, I'll follow it.
I swear it was higher than that, but like I said, I've not been paying attention to it much in the last month. I've now spent a year of very, very – I've done three or four periods of research in crypto. This, I think, was a fourth. And I very carefully studied all the people talking about it who I respect, I think are worth listening to on YouTube. And I've got it. I know what their deal is now. But I'm giving you the summary of that for shorthand, just by when it's like in the extreme fear, when people aren't talking or thinking about Bitcoin. So now is, a very good time to buy. Yes.
It is now extreme fear. 22.
Because people aren't thinking or worrying about it. They're like afraid because Plan B said it was going to be 135,000 and man, it's like not even 50,000. So remember, people are completely bait fish, sheep, cattle, whatever animal analogy you want to use. They're very afraid. They run in mass. They don't think they're exactly the same way. Sorry, that's true. And, even the ones who are a little different have a lot of that in themselves. And so to go against the herd is very hard, very hard. And people can't even explain to themselves why that is. But yeah, extreme fear is when you want to be buying. So it's a good time to buy Bitcoin. Yes. I'm saying that's the simplest, if you want the simplest shorthand way of buying Bitcoin, I think that's even simpler than dollar cost averaging, which is usually the one they all recommend. Dollar cost averaging, put it in a set amount at a set time interval and don't worry about the price. I think this is marginally better than that. Just buy when it's under 50 or under, or if you like under 30 or under 20, even you could say, if you want to be extreme about it. When it's an extreme fear, that's a good time to buy. because you're doing the opposite of what most people are feeling and thinking.
Yeah, very interesting, Alex.
So what it says is multifactorial crypto market sentiment analysis, alternative.me. I don't know who that is, but I've seen a lot of people cite this. I don't really care who it is. I'm assuming that it's just a bunch of statistical measures of how much activity and in relation to other times and stuff. And they're saying this, and they're turning into something simple and useful. The bipolarity of fear and greed, right? Because that's the motives that drive all of us. So, yeah, it's a great simple index that you can use to tell you when to buy whatever it is you want to buy. It's not just Bitcoin, but it could be anything else.
Yeah. Well,
and
Alex,
that's what I recommend to you listening to this.
So. Any other American stuff? What about the Ghislaine Maxwell trial?
Oh, yeah. So we're recording this on, as I said, the 30th of December. She was found guilty on 5 out of 6 counts yesterday. She has not been sentenced yet. I didn't follow that overly closely, but I was reading an article in the Daily Mail today before we did this just to see if there was anything. It was just funny. There's a long multi-thousand word article about her and Jeffrey Epstein and their relationship and what they were doing. And she looked at him as Zeus is what one person said. And there's a mention of Zeus in the article. There's no mention of Jews. And like I've said, I've tried to explain to you people and what we do here, so much of it is just contexting stuff you will come across in the Jew stream media, the Jewish junk media, but putting it in the right context. And part of that is pointing out how they deliberately omit context or decontext, put something in an entirely wrong context, which begs the question of production values. I want you thinking about this as you read or watch anything. What is the natural way, if you were a journalist, this will help you understand why you see what you see. What is the natural way to present the story of Jeffrey Epstein and Ghislaine, or however you pronounce it, Maxwell? Well, there are a couple of extremely high-end Jews, and what they are doing is typical of the disrespect Jews have for non-Jews. They see them as literal body parts to be used for their genes and their sex holes, or to mulct them of their money if they didn't already have billions. And they're also part of this Jewish spy network, the Mossad. So they're Mossadists as well. And do you get any of this in a Daily Mail report? Do you get any of this from CNN? Do you get any of this from any right-wing publication? No. You're totally denied knowing the Jewish context out of which the mentality, the morality, and the behavior of Ghislaine and Jeffy come from. So this is how little they think of you. They won't tell you the truth. They'll put you off in a bizarre direction. Oh, they're just some weird, crazy rich people that a lot of American presidents just somehow happen to know and deal with. And yeah, there's no relation to all American presidents who have kids. Their kids are always completely married into Jews, whether it's Trump or Biden or probably Obama in the future, certainly Bush, both Bushes. They're all married, Carter. They're all married into Jew families. Isn't that weird? I mean, they don't give you the context you need to understand the story. So it's just wow, just wow. And then it blips on to another new happening. And nothing is ever connected. You have to do all the actual intellectual work yourself rather than having it presented to you properly that you might understand it in the most convenient and quickest way, as a journalist might be thought to be supposed to do. Right?
Yeah. Well.
Left us privateers to supply you with the correct context for things. But that is the right way to understand Ghislaine and Jeffrey, that they are a couple of nasty Jews who are working with all the other nasty Jews that abound in New York and the upper branches of British society. and so that's why we explain it to you. Now, what will happen to her? Now, what would you do if you were her, knowing that she's a rich Jew and she could be up for as much as 60 years in prison? What would she naturally try to do if she possibly could? I mean, she would try to flee to Israel, if anything, I would think. I don't think she wants to do any jail time. Now, would they be sucker enough to let her out on any kind of money which she could probably raise? I don't think so, but so it looks like she probably will do some prison time. But if I were her, I would be trying to flee to Israel. That's what all these sex criminal Jews typically do, the ones who aren't as quite as top level as Jeffrey Epstein, where there's not so much public light on them. Even if they leave the Jew part out, the trial was still much discussed in the USA, or at least somewhat written about, and I guess covered on TV that I don't watch. So I'm judging by the Daily Mail, which I look at pretty much every day, and there was a good amount of reporting on Ghislaine's trial. So, but my point is, Jews in this situation who are abusing Goyish children usually run to Israel if they possibly can. So who knows what will happen? I don't know what kind of sentence she'll get, but.
Yeah, Alex, it did surprise me that Maxwell, you know, was eventually arrested, et cetera, et cetera. That did surprise me, that she's kind of the fall guy for this.
She's not a fall guy. She was not completely involved in this.
Sorry.
She was procuring all these girls for, they have multiple witnesses procuring all these underage Goyish females for Epstein. And remember, Epstein had this ranch, where was it, out in the Southwest, out in Nevada or New Mexico or something, where he's trying to create his own race, essentially out of like Jews and I guess superior Aryan female stock. And this is what Jews are doing more generally. They've stolen all of our money, and now they're trying to pirate all of our genes to where they won't look like those nasty, hook-nosed, hand-rubbing Jews of old who were super hirsute, hairy, sweaty, nasty, and balding. They will look more like Trump, but they'll still have the minds of Jews. And in this way, they will have completed the dispossession of the white race, so that all of our best genes, as well as all of our money and our artistic creations, will be in their hands, and our nations will be destroyed, and we'll simply be mulatto idiots. Remember what I said about the mixed race or the other race population in Kirksville going up by 169% and 43%, not mentioning the overt African-American, and literally Africans in America going up 226%. You see what I'm saying? This is how the world actually works. Jews are engaged in genetic piracy. They're trying to wipe us out generally while taking the best of our physical plant and bringing it to themselves for their race. As long as they can keep their Jew mentality and they have their Jew culture to promote that, so to help them on both the biological and the social front, they will carry on this genetic war on our kind.
That's a very important point, Alex. The whole thing of whites losing their genetics, because the other way that whites lose their genetics is with interracial children, you know, because instead of having white kids, they're having mixed race kids who are now another race. And you're also taking like blacks and moving blacks to the next level up. You're creating newer, more dangerous
races. Yeah, they're an intermediate race. Well, it's a race that won't threaten Jews. They're a little smarter than blacks. They're not quite as violent, so they're a little better than blacks, but they're worse than whites. They're less threatening to Jews is the common denominator there. And they just create a more discordant, confused, stupid, ugly society, which is where Jews feel at home.
Yes. Yeah, no, that's very interesting about Epstein. I didn't know that he was trying to create a race. So did he have children then with girls?
I don't think he had gotten to the point where he had carried it out. What he had done was create this sort of ranch, and I need to read a little more on it. But that was his eventual plan to do, and some of these girls that he had recruited, you know, basically servicing him and the elite that he was working with, Bill Clinton and that type, have mentioned overtly this Jewish mentality that it's a totally Jewish thing. And they just completely look down on those who aren't Jews as basically farm animals they can fuck. So the later evolution, some of the later evolution of this, I guess the last few years, he was working on his ranch out there, and he ultimately had plans to kind of populate the world with these, I guess, Jeffrey Epstein half clones, you know, or whatever it was. I don't know. You gotta look. I mean, he would father them, or whoever else he wanted would father them, and they would kind of breed up a whole race of this type of people. But yeah, I don't know. I don't think he got too far along the tracks on that, other than building the big place out west. I think it was New Mexico. I'm not positive on that.
Well, Alex, the other thing that I saw, and can you believe it slipped my mind as I'm saying it, there was something else I wanted to mention about Epstein. Oh, goodness, pardon me. One of the other things about Epstein was seeing like him and Ghislaine actually with the Queen of England, Alex. And another thing was, there was a photo of him, I think, him and her sitting on the throne.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, how the hell do these people get access to there? And that is freaky. Did Epstein go and meet the Queen? Is he on first-hand terms with the Queen?
Yeah, that's the level they're operating at.
I'd love to know more, because there was like a photograph I saw, which was almost like a photograph that Ghislaine had taken of the Queen of England looking at her, like they're sitting outside somewhere. I'm like, oh,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, they're one of their rural retreats there. I remember that was in the Daily Mail. Well, this is the level he's operating at. He's having Bill Clinton and Trump repeatedly flying to his island. He's operating at the extreme top of society. And again, in Britain, you've got the Central Bank of Britain and Jewish money control. That's where it all originated. I mean, in terms of central banking, originally it came out of Frankfurt and the Rothschilds, but Central Bank of England. So yeah, Ghislaine is I guess British Israeli or whatever. Remember, her dad was absolute top of the chain of newspaper magnates.
Yes.
And he was involved with the Mossad, and whether they ended up killing him later, it's Jewish intelligence. It's the top financial banking stratus, and the U.S. politicians aren't even the top. Bill Clinton is not a top level person. He was some nobody in Arkansas, but by dint of his extreme abilities and his high IQ and his prodigious ability to work and stay awake and do stuff, he's exalted to the top through the political system. And these are the people who they encounter when they get to the top. They're trained, and they're in their own way, they're groomed to serve them. And so they're naturally going to take some of the benefits of it, which is going to be underage females. And Trump has no problem with that. Clinton has no problem. The entire upper political class of all these white nations has been completely whored and cucked out.
Yes.
And you don't find anyone. You don't find anyone who has any kind of integrity, other than, you could say, Ron Paul in the USA. Even he won't call a Jew a Jew. But he's as close as it comes to having some integrity. They have no integrity at all. They're complete and utter whores. And these are the Jews, these are the benefits they get from it.
And the
free money, underage females, real estate, ability to do whatever the hell they want, basically. This is what's going on in every white nation ever since the National Socialists were defeated.
Well, Alex, the other thing was the houses and the ranch and all those places that Epstein had entire computer rooms with cameras and things to spy on everybody. So, yeah. I mean, so you're grabbing all these powerful people, you're bringing them to have illegal sex with underage girls, and you're filming it. So, I mean, that's there's blackmail written all over it, man.
Yeah. Well, that
you got those people for life.
So they can get whatever information they need.
And they
I think that's somewhat overrated. They don't even need that, but yet they have it if they ever did need it, because they already have control, because they vet them. To run for office requires a lot of money. Who has a lot of money? The Jews have a lot of money. They give it to both parties. They already control these people through the money, but if they need an extra handle on them, then yeah, they can have sexual blackmail if need be, certainly on someone like Clinton or some of these other ones who can't control their appetites. So yeah, and it absolutely, it traces back to Mossad and the Jewish control of American politics.
Alex,
none of this is hinted at in the media.
I remembered the thing that I'd forgotten when I wanted to talk just now. There is a audio that I listened to where one of the women who were the accusers of Epstein, she actually was telling another woman about how it was being among all these Jews and how these
yes.
Jews look down on them and regard them as garbage and treat them like
yep.
shit. And
that's
that
right.
is like, whoa, there it is right out of her mouth.
That came out. I don't know when that came out, but within the last year, that's been brought up two or three times. Like the person who actually lived through it sees the significance that the media will never report. Like, you don't understand. This is a crust of Jews. And even if other Jews don't participate, they know about it, and they do know about it, and they do go along with it. And this is the Jewish mentality anyway. They look down and absolutely hate non-Jews. And this is what's reflected in any organ that has support, even from non-Jews, like the Washington Post article I alluded to earlier. I talked about earlier. They freaking hate non-Jews, and that's the result of, like, they hate and don't even view as human Trump or anyone who votes for him. They're inherently illegal. They all need to be classified as terrorists and shut down and bankrupted, if not simply, oh, and there's loads of them. Oh, they ought to be taken off to Guantanamo Bay and tortured. They absolutely believe that. And this is the Jewish mentality filtered through the more foregoing publications, and this mentality spread out all through the left so that today it defines the SJW. And well, their mentality toward anyone who's not part of their stupid cult is their dog meat. You can do anything to them you like.
Well,
yeah, that girl, I forget her name, but yeah, that came out, I don't know, some months ago. And I've seen it rise up a couple other times too. I forget her name though. Doesn't matter.
I also don't know her name, but I was like very impressed with that. I was very impressed that somebody actually, that was actually recorded. Another one is a Jew that I absolutely detest from the moment that I first saw him on TV back in the 1990s, that Jewish law professor Dershowitz. And Dershowitz, it turns out, has also been visiting Epstein. Of course.
Yeah.
Of course, on the side of the Jews, just having fun with those white girls and doing what the fuck they want, eh? And I was like, "Oh, you bag of shit! You were there too." And I see he's been denying in typical Jew style. But Dershowitz also there. All these bastards, and Alex. That's also why I think in the end. I was sitting and thinking to myself in recent times that the European race, the whites, I don't think in the history of our existence that we've ever been ruled by such absolute garbage, traitors, cucks, weaklings, just general filth. I don't think we've ever been led as badly as in modern times. That every Western country is run by white-hating whites who are working for the Jews. I don't think in the history of the world we've ever seen anything like this.
Never as bad as this. I mean, they had their way of, you know, they were allowed, say, in Poland 1,000 years ago, they were allowed to tax farm the people and charge for access to church and sell them whiskey and stuff like that. But there was still a king, and he might be in debt to the Jews, but the Jews still had to be a little bit fearful of him. But nowadays their control is pretty much unmediated. They do whatever they want, and no one can even complain about it because they're all deplatformed. So they have closer to absolute power than they've ever had, and they're just getting started from their point of view.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's wild. The thing that I'm sad about is that we've never get to see Epstein on trial and the rest of it. And I believe that even the women who were in this trial, that even these women were not all the women and weren't even the worst of the things
no,
that,
and they,
that were
and
done.
Something I read said they sealed the case too. So she's guilty, but they sealed up the case so you don't learn any more about this whole network and see just how incredibly extensive it is.
Oh, and it's
still,
wow.
The thing is, it's still going on. I mean, there may be other lower level Jews. They're still doing the same thing. Jews have always done this. They've always white slaved white women and pimped them out and screwed them and stolen their genes and just used them however they saw fit. This is their way of dealing with other people. And that knowledge is absolutely kept from the American sucker public, who is content with the lies it hears in church. And, oh, Jews are our elder brothers in Christ. No, Jews are just a bunch of Jeffrey Epsteins. They've Yes. always been like this. And the Catholic lie that it only started when they rejected the Jesus they invented is just that. It's a lie. So long as Jews have been around, they've acted exactly the same way. It is biological, and there is nothing to do except what we do with termites.
Alex, you can't change people, and people need to understand. I've been trying to explain to other people as well. You need to look on humans in the same way that you look on animals, that there's a lion out there, the lion operates in this way, that a chimpanzee operates in that way, that a dove works like this and an eagle like that. It's the same with humans. Whites are a certain type of animal. Jews are another type of human animal. Blacks are another, and there are strict rules. And you cannot change the behavior of these people ultimately. We are what we are, and all that you're seeing is interaction in the same way that there's interaction between the animals in the jungle or in the savannas. So you have this interaction between humans, and this is just the way it works. And like with the blacks, I also try to say to people, the blacks are not our children. They're not related to us, and we shouldn't care at all about them. They are
yeah,
not
but
our,
where does that white our, man's burden come from? That was well said. You said it well.
Christianity.
Exactly.
Christianity. So you know,
but why is our race coupled with the need to fix these fucking niggers? You Christian, go to your God and tell him to fix the nigger. He created it. It's not my job to fix it. It's not broken. It's just shit. We don't need it in Kirksville or anywhere. And well, just one size fit all for morality, and God created everyone. We all got an equal soul. I mean, they never approach it from this angle either. If this reality is what you said, that if you try to look at humans through any other race but biological, like morality, as the Catholics do, it doesn't make sense. It doesn't explain what's going on half as well as the biological thing of just different animals interacting does. Jews Yes. always act like this because that's what they are. The Judaism and the whatever they wrote down as their code of conduct came after they were already behaving like this for all their recorded history. So Yes. it's not rejecting Jesus or developing Judaism in 500 and 600, you know, AD or 400 or 500 AD that turned Jews into Jews. This is what they are. They always acted like this. There's no time they didn't act like this. No one can falsify that. No one can point to any point in history where they were not these criminal, smut peddling, white enslaving, subverting, revolutionary pieces of shit. They always were.
Yeah.
Jesus is the fixation of the half-wits who don't even understand that even that is a Jewish subversion. The creation of Christianity and spreading it among whites is the subversion, just like everything else they do. What are you going to say? Can you deny it came from Jews? What else did Jews do is not a subversion? Well, you can't think of anything. Well, did Christianity come from Jews? Well, it sure as fuck didn't come from Lapland. It didn't come from Eskimos. It didn't come from South America. It didn't come from anywhere in Europe. It came from Jews. Okay? It's a subversion like everything else they do. Oh, and there's so many obvious parallels. It's raceless like communism, right? It's global. It's universalist. It's messianic like all these other leftist crap they come up with. Abandon your ancestors. Forget your social class and your tradition, your heritage, and join us around this table, breaking bread and celebrating this Jew called God, Jesus. And boy, do they like to rub that. I never see these guys on Pieville and the other part that we're federated with, you know, ever notice how Jews love, oh, you, Jesus was a Jew. They're always throwing that in your face.
Yeah,
and they can, because it's true. He was a Jew.
Why do you worship Jew God?
You worship a Jew as God and think that you're white? You're an idiot.
Well, Alex, in Gibbon's The Fall of the Roman Empire, I read once where they were saying that the, because another angle that you haven't mentioned, Alex, another angle that I've heard out of other Christians in modern times is they say, well, modern Christianity is wrong. We need to go back to the way the original Christians were. Well, when you go and you read, I think it's Gibbon's, and you read about the first real Christians in the time of Rome, it turns out that the original Christians, the original white Christians, they circumcised themselves like Jews. And when they had problems, they ran to the Jews to go and ask for help. So, you know, if they say, oh, you've got to be like the original Christians, the modern Christianity is wrong, the very first Christians were right. It turns out the very first Christians were just trying to openly be Jews.
Mm-hmm. So, well, you never
circumcising
know.
Themselves. I thought, oh, God, there
I
you
know
go.
That Gibbon definitely attributed Christianity as one of the reasons for the destruction of Rome.
Yeah, the early Christians.
They don't like to mention that part.
That's another thing. You know, the early Christians were like the communists of their time. The early Christians were like the communists and hippies of their time, really. And I must tell you, I can understand why the Romans treated them the way they did, because the Romans were a whole different other kettle of fish. They were much more. They took their nation and their setup much more seriously. The Romans, I take my hat off to them, really. So yeah, Alex.
Yeah, well.
So I think that's covered America and Europe. But yeah, interesting about Ghislaine Maxwell and all that. I've got a couple of South African things to quickly throw at you.
Oh, okay.
Here's something that I haven't actually mentioned in years, and I've been coming across it, is in South Africa, there's been discussion about the government and the pass rates at school being 30%. all the years, whites said that blacks weren't intelligent enough to do this and to do that. So when the blacks came into power, and the black kids were failing in school, the government reduced the pass rate from having to achieve 50% to having to achieve 30%. If you can score 30% on your exams, then you've passed. And that is still the case in South Africa right now. So and then the black government turns around and says, oh man, you know, we got a good pass rate. Lots of kids are passing matric. So, you know, it's just like with crime. It's just the fucking with numbers, you know, just fucking with numbers and just, you know, saying, oh, we passed. And then they also now you get all of these blacks who pass, but who clearly didn't pass, but they get their papers, and then they can go to university. And in university, the blacks that I worked with, I was quite convinced that the universities must have changed the courses and things in order for the blacks to be able to pass, because I am certain that even the passes that they get at university, that the universities must have changed the courses. But anyway, so there's been a little bit of discussion where one black said the pass rates must change, but I can't see them doing
anything. The progressive abandonment of standards is found wherever Jews or blacks have any kind of political control. Blacks can't even remotely keep up a facade. I mean, another article, not to go back to the U.S. just briefly, but in Illinois has an actual outflow of population because of the incredible incompetence of Chicago and the incredible violence there under this monkey looking nigger, Blackfoot or whatever her name is. But California and New York and Illinois have people leaving them because the left is so terrible at governing. But yeah, wherever you have blacks, standards are going down. They're being abandoned because blacks can't meet them and they don't have the intellectual integrity to admit that's the case. And where Jews control the media, you can never discuss anything like that, honestly, because the only officially acceptable explanation is white racism. So whites are never responsible, but always blamed. And when the truth is kept off the table, what can you do except go downhill? Because you can never talk about it. You can never put the solution to any actual social problem on the table because it's Semitically incorrect. Yeah. And this is the price we pay is knowing what's wrong and not being able to do anything about it because we don't have any political power in the country that our people created. So we're resorted to, you know, backbench whining while they actually control things and destroy us and destroy our nations. And we should be angry enough about it that we come together and physically destroy them. By them, I mean Jews. I don't mean floaty ether, spiritual principalities floating around in the air is the real problem, as the Christian homosexuals always say, because it's always safer to fight abstraction than actual enemies. No, the problem is Jews. The reason our society is being destroyed is Jews. It's not the devil. It's not principalities. It's not even niggers. Though they may directly on the street be responsible for bad things, they were empowered and put in place and twisted up on their back and let go by Jews. I mean, if you don't understand that, you don't understand the very first thing about politics. It's the same in South Africa as anywhere else. And yeah, the blacks can't meet the standards. So the standards got to go because blacks feel bad about themselves otherwise.
Yeah, so they come up with all kinds of junk arguments. Like they were saying, well, you know, if the kids don't pass at school, then they can't go to university. If they can't go to university, they can't get jobs. We need jobs, so they got to pass. So I just look at it and I say, okay, the country is going to carry on sinking. And I'll give you more examples of let me give you.
You know. Let me make a profound point, though. This is not the subtle thing. Blacks are like whites, except 10 times more so. Like in obeying authority, they literally don't understand what the paper represents. They think the paper saying they passed or the certificate is the important thing. They literally don't understand that it represents something. And while you can fake it by having the paper, the thing that it represents is what actually matters. They literally do not understand that. That's part of the reason that they're so, well, why are you saying just because he doesn't have a paper that has the right marks on it, he can't have this job that he needs? They see you as the problem. They're literally too stupid to get that whole connection of representation. So they think the paper itself and you're denying it to them is the actual problem. But you say, well, if you give him the paper, he still doesn't have the ability to like fly the plane or whatever. You're already beyond their mental horizons. Absolutely, that's the case.
Well, Alex, the other thing also that I'll tell you from my observation of blacks, and you're right about that, but I will add to it, is that in many cases, blacks don't even give a fuck. Alex, They don't give a fuck. All they want is something that they get to do, and they just know that they need money. and you know, whether like you say, whether it's got to do with skill, these people don't give a rat's ass about anything. And yes, you're quite right. The whole setup, you know. If the world was run in any way, even slightly honestly, whites would be winning left, right, and center everywhere. The fact that we can even get to this point where this kind of situation occurs just shows you that we're totally off the rails. But yeah, I understand what you're getting at. And the blacks themselves, Alex, even when the blacks have got a job and stuff, They don't give a fuck, man. These people don't give a crap. All they want is their money at the end of the month. They don't give a shit about anything else. I went yesterday, just to give you a little bit of idea of some of the dysfunctionality here. Yesterday, I had to go to pay my car license and my postbox. And so I do mine right at the end of the year when it's the quietest time. So I went just after Christmas, and yesterday I went there and I stood in the queue. So it's at the post office. It takes almost 2 hours to go and pay my post box and my car license. And we have to sit in long queues. And this is still at the good time after Christmas when there aren't many people around. Before Christmas, it's even worse. And while we sit on chairs, because we're going to be there a long time. So we sit on chairs all the way until you get to the post office. And so a white German lady came and sat next to me. And then suddenly a black waddles out of the post office and comes to the old German lady and says to her, my manager says that you need to put on your mask properly. So they're inside the fucking post office. There are glass windows and everything. If this was a disease, it wouldn't reach them from here. But they come to tell you to put your mask on. Later on, I was in the queue inside the post office because I stick my nose out above the mask. And I also got a same thing to tell where they came, and they told me I have to put on the mask. But when you look at these blacks, when they're working and doing stuff, Alex, the blacks here in South Africa, they walk and move as slowly as they possibly can. If they could walk any slower, I'll tell you quickly. There's another shop that I go to. That's kind of a Portuguese shop, and they deal more for poor people. And I like to go there. I get some bargains there. And one day I was at the shop, and I heard a guy shouting, "Hey, slow motion, where are you?" And I was like, I was thinking, no ways. Are you telling me he's got a black that's called slow motion? So I went to him afterwards because he talks to me. And I said to him, you said slow motion. Is there a guy that's called slow motion? He says, yeah, there's a black guy. And he's nicknamed him slow motion because he's so fucking slow. But honestly, when I look at these people, Alex, they're not like us, man. Things that are part and parcel of the way we think and how we act, they're nothing like us, man. The blacks, even the government, and people don't grasp this, even the government, even the ministers, etc., the president, does the president really care about South Africa? Do they even care about their own people? I will tell you, they don't give a flying fuck about even their own kind. All they're all in this for is to steal, man. They're here to steal and get what they can. They don't give a crap about anything else. They don't give a shit.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But, other things in South Africa, the petrol prices are the highest they've ever been. And South Africans are now using carpooling and Lyft clubs in order to try to cut back on petrol costs. And just to show you more of how failure compounds itself, though I must say, since the time that you and I last spoke, I think I've maybe had a very short power outage. But they say that power usage is lower in December, so we're quite lucky in that sense. So I haven't really had a power outage except one short time. But otherwise, I'm still working on my solar. I will still build up on my own stuff. But anyway, the electricity provider for the country wants to increase electricity prices by 20% for 2022. Every year they try to get 15-20% price increases. They don't always get it, but even so, the prices are going up. It's probably going up like by 10. They'll probably get 10%. But I mean, they are failures. They are failing. They're not providing a service. But the more they fail, the more money they want. That's how it works in South Africa. Now, Telkom, which handles the landlines, and not many people have got landlines anymore, I read, and this is not a misprint, that Telkom has tried to increase the landline rate by 18,000%. I'm not kidding you. So that's what they've tried. And lots of things aren't working. So even TVs, the blacks are trying to get people to pay TV licenses. Nobody watches state TVs. And this is for state TV. Nobody watches state TV, but they're trying to get people to pay license fees, even though they never watch it. So, it's just.
So you got licenses there, like in the UK, huh?
Yes.
God, that's one thing we don't have in America.
Yes. You see, this is from the time of apartheid, because all TV stations used to be run by a government parastatal. And nowadays, that's not the case. It's run by all kinds of different businesses. But the blacks control that parastatal. And the problem is it was funded by people paying TV licenses. And it's a mission and a half. People, whites have been trying to get out of it for a long time. Whites don't even buy TVs and so forth. Because in order to buy a TV, you have to prove you have a license. It's a big nuisance, the whole TV license thing. But hardly anybody uses it anyway. They mostly watch stuff on the internet and on their phones. So also something fading away. But, you know, the more the blacks fail, the more money they need. That's the very interesting thing. And I do laugh at it, because they're also – South Africa as a country, the debt that we're in is also increasing. And we've got lots of things. We've got our national airline. they're going to auction it off. The government has already bailed it out with taxpayer money multiple times, and probably much of the taxpayer money is white anyway. But they've bailed it out like two or three times, and I think now they're going to try and auction it off and get rid of it. You know, everything's just going downhill, just like in America, it just goes downhill. And whites, the thing is, whites just need to get together and work out a system to survive.
Let me ask you a question. I mentioned earlier that in the white, we have intra-U.S. white movings. As in, they leave California, they move to Texas. They leave California, they move to Utah, they leave Arizona, they move to Idaho. There's whites relocate to avoid the, you know, either taxes as in Illinois and New York and the minority crime, or just the insanity of liberalism, most on view in, say, New York and California more than anywhere. Is there anything like that in South Africa? Do you have people like, say, I've had enough of Johannesburg, I'm just going to move out, like equivalent of Warania?
I know what you're saying. Okay, white flight. Is there white flight in South Africa? There probably has been bits of white flight as people move away from some areas. But on the whole, Alex, it's nothing like America, because it's so much more expensive. We are, in that sense, poorer than you guys. We cannot just up and leave and go here and go there. It's when whites buy a house, they literally have to stay there for the rest of their lives. They're not going to be able to move. Just as you and I were discussing.
Well,
before
why couldn't you sell it? Why couldn't you just sell it and move? Is that the problem? Or
the problem would be that even the selling and the moving would be You'd lose so much that you wouldn't really be able to do it.
No kidding.
So,
like the, you mean the taxes, or you'd have to pay the nigger fee on it,
or all the things relating to it, Alex. Many people are older people, and they've bought it, and their income now is so small that they can't just sell their house and move somewhere else because they won't have the money and stuff to do that.
Yeah.
There is white flight, but Alex, it's like 100th of the 100th or 1,000th of the extent of yours. In our cases, when we finally get a house and a place, we are stuck there, literally.
Yeah,
all of us.
We knew a lot of people had, if they were going to white flight, which is kind of a propaganda term, but they went to Australia or they went maybe back to UK or somewhere else, but within South Africa. So it's pretty hard to do for tax and other reasons, it sounds like.
Yeah, I think it's because a lot of the people are older, and by the time they eventually have their house, they're literally on pension and stuff.
What's the average age of white South Africans? Do you know that offhand?
I can't tell you offhand. I don't think it's that much different to the rest of
I'm trying to think in America. Is it like 40 or something? I may be way off.
It's
that, but I think
probably
it's like
something similar. Probably something similar.
Yeah. Okay.
So
I know because you have lots of sort of open land out there. I was thinking in theory they could like do what Urania did, just move out in the boondocks as long as they had some water, find a little town or something.
Alex, you are quite right. There are chunks of South Africa that have got lots of land, and you would literally just have to go and buy a farm and start doing things with it. In this regard, I actually put out a video. I put out a video about Canadian German Christians called the Hutterites, and I was very impressed with the Hutterites because they work as they're Christians who without knowing it are practicing socialism, actually, because they don't believe in private property. So the Hutterites, wherever they live, they have to live as a colony, because this is their interpretation of something in the Bible. But what I liked about the Hutterites in Canada and America, and the Canadian Hutterites are the most successful, was just having these whites with a Germanic background, the German attitude to work, that when you put 100 whites, they form colonies, and the colonies are like 100 to 170 people, that when you get 100 to 170 white men, women, and children, and you stick them and they buy a farm for themselves, and they build their own houses, and they try to be as self-sufficient as possible, that when you see what they produce, it's amazing. They are so successful. They don't set out to be financially successful, but they become insanely successful. And all of it is just like a miniature Urania type thing. And I was looking at that, and I was thinking to myself, man, if we could just get whites in South Africa to function like those Hutterites in America and Canada, and we could form colonies of like 100 to 200 people. And another thing about the Hutterites.
Oh, they sound like Mennonites here.
Right.
The Mennonites do similar stuff here, and they are extremely expanding their population numbers. They grow so large over time, they draw numbers and they move somewhere else.
Alex.
So many of them.
Alex, the Hutterites. Now, what I like about the Hutterites and what makes them better than who are those other Christians, but the Christians who live like
Amish and
yes.
Amish and Mennonites are together called Anabaptist, and they're
okay.
They're...
All right, let me tell you a difference. The difference is that the Hutterites do not live in the past time, in the sense that the Hutterites don't have a problem with technology. Mm-hmm. So the Hutterites, they buy freaking modern tractors, modern everything, and the men learn skills. In the videos that I put out, the Hutterites in Canada, in one place, In one place, they were building probably the biggest farm workshop in the whole of Canada on one of these Hutterite things. You should see it. They can drive huge trucks into it. It's got its own cranes and everything. And these Hutterite men, they don't have a problem with technology. So if the tractors break or something is not the way they want it, they will even learn the skills and freaking improve and fix those things. They're actually amazingly creative. So
that's quite interesting. Jan, what ethnicity are they? Are they Czech? Are they German or what?
No, they are German. They are Germans who moved originally to the Ukraine, to Russia, and they lived there. And then their biggest weakness, Alex, is that they don't engage in warfare. So when Russia became a problem country, when Jewish Bolshevism tore Russia apart, those Hutterites moved to America. And then America wanted to call them up into the military, mm-hmm. and they don't do military service, so most of them moved to Canada. And in Canada, you must see how successful they are. I've got so much footage. Alex, I've never seen farms like this in my life. And the Hutterites, so they've got this German attitude, okay? They've got this German attitude to work and to life. You must see how the men work, how the women work, how organized they are, how beautiful their kitchens and things are. They're fantastic.
It's very similar to the Mennonites and Amish, pretty much. And the Mennonites aren't really that anti-technology. They drive cars themselves.
Okay.
It's the same. It's the same type of thing. Basically, Germanic people are capable.
Yeah.
If they work together, they can do anything, basically.
And the other thing, Alex, I spoke at length to women who'd lived as neighbors to these people. And listen to this. This blew my mind. Was these Hutterites, women used to get married. The girls used to get married at the age of like 15 and 16. And I spoke to other white Christian women who knew those people. And Alex, they told me that if those girls get married at like age 15 and 16, that by the time that girl is 21, she's already got five children. By the age of 21, 22, she's got five kids.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
she's going to have more kids. And Alex, they doubled. But then later the liberals and others started messing with them and fucking with them and so some of that sexual stuff they had to like slow down on the marriage stuff. But I went and looked at statistics going back to the 1980s. Alex, those Hutterites were doubling their population every 20 years. Every 20 years. And Alex, when I look at that stuff, I'm like, good God, how can whites say that we're gonna die? Because if you go back in even more distant history, when I was reading about the Vikings were having so many children, and I mean, they live in a cold, miserable, rotten place. And we're talking the Vikings 1,000 years ago were having so many kids. They had a population. They were overflowing from Vikings. That's in part why they went and started raiding other places, because their population was growing so much. Whites have never had a population problem. Europe has always produced more whites than it needs. For hundreds and thousands of years.
Oh yeah, that's why my ancestors, like everybody else, came over here, because there was land, and they would have seven kids, and there would be enough for like one of them, and they needed more room than there was in Germany and Switzerland. But yeah, no, I would just looked it up. They are Anabaptist, I guess.
Yes, they are.
I always thought Anabaptist only meant Mennonite and Amish, but yeah, they're basically the same type thing.
Yes.
They're working. And now I've never come across any Hutterites around where I am, but this says they first were in the South Dakota in the USA. So I'm going to look around and learn a little more about them. But yeah, it's the same type deal. And I've seen exactly what you say, because our modern liberal ideology of, oh, don't even think about having a child until you have a career, and you can't ever count on any man, so you better go to college and get an education, and don't have a child until you have a career. Then they end up having one kid in their 30s. That's the model, and that's what all the, particularly like the class I come from, the upper middle class, is completely brainwashed into that model. And they just, the idea of having a child when you're a teenager is just horrifying to them. It makes them think they're going to sink back to the lower middle economic class, which is like their worst nightmare. So you have to go to college and never do any trades, and you get an education, and then be respectable and have a go to a prestigious college and a prestigious employer, and then you'll be something. And that's how they think, whereas far more effective. And I see this, I see the Amish and the Mennonite, they're growing and growing and growing around here in northern Missouri over the years. Now, not Hutterites, but basically the same thing. And yeah, you'll see a woman and you're like, I don't know how old she is, but she's not that old. And there'll be four or five kids just year by year. The only people I've seen remotely like that are some of the Congolese, where there'd be like, you know, 2-inch difference between all the kids, 3, 4, five, six, seven, like that. So yeah, they absolutely do greatly increase their population over time. I heard within the last year, the ones around here had drawn straws, and some of them were taken off for new area because there was too many of them. So yeah, yes. They absolutely have a way of life that works in the sense of it creates new life, and it expands, and it seems to be happy the way the people are.
Alex, those Hutterites, they have
got Hutterites to that.
The Hutterites also, they call it a colony, and then they go and they buy a huge piece of land, and then they start from scratch. They build all their stuff and off they go. It's amazing. And those Hutterites in Canada, they say that there are 50,000 Hutterites, and they own 500 farms. But Alex, you got to see those farms, yeah. My man. This is not small scale stuff. These people, you should see. After this, I'd like to send you a link. I just want to send you a link.
This says, I looked it up. It says today almost all Hutterites live in Western Canada and the upper Great Plains of the United States. So that would be like South Dakota, as I was saying. And I guess that German Tyrol region. So they're like the Austrian or the Alp region of Germany, southern Germany, I guess, is where they come from. It makes sense, because Hus was a Czech, and I can't remember. I think he was killed. He was kind of nuts, and the Catholics hate. They see them as an evil heresy, and Jan Hus as a Czech heretic, and he did a lot of crazy stuff, and then was killed. But it's funny because all these Anabaptists that they say were founded on sexual immorality end up being much more sexually regular and productive than any of these Catholics. I mean, in Italy, they literally don't even know how to breed. it's just kind of funny to me how biased and bigoted the Catholic nuts are. But these wonderfully Germanic Anabaptists are certainly proliferating where I am, and many other spots that they are in. And they are even down in South America and Mexico as well. Okay. There's little oases of them. But
Alex, when I look at the men and the women, and you look at how they live, and you look at how healthy they are, I'm telling you, those women, I was looking at those women, and I was thinking to myself, you know, hell, those are actually gorgeous girls.
Well,
and I'm saying
they are,
and they're healthy. They look fantastic. I'm like, whoa, that life works. There it
is.
Well,
it's not because they eat good stuff. They eat shit. They eat a lot of baked goods and sugar. But what they do is they're always working on stuff. So
yes,
their women weigh like, back in the, I've said this many times, I'll say it again. Back in the 60s, the average man weighed like 165. The average woman weighed like 130 or something. And now 50 years later, both sexes have added 30 plus pounds. So we're now obese, but these people are still the weight that our people used to be back in the 1960s.
Yes.
Before the Jew revolution and basically everything really took hold legally, socially, over TV, etc. So yeah, they're an example. If you kick the TV out and do actual strenuous labor, you can keep your figure, even if you have a bunch of kids.
Alex, you should see those women, man. I was thinking to myself, if you just, the only thing that, you know what I was actually thinking when I looked at that, I was thinking to myself, all you need are a bunch of whites who think the same way and understand that you need to form a self-sufficient, basically it's like a self-sufficient village almost. And then, yeah. And then, but they create so much extra stuff that they sell. And you know, Alex, another thing that this is a sideline, but another thing that amazed me about the Hutterites was they are so efficient that they can take on big businesses and beat them. Alex, these people are not, they're not in it for the money, but they are so good at it that they start, other farmers are driven out of business. They can take on anything. It's such a powerful system. And and if I can just say a few more things, I was looking at this and I was saying, if you have a colony like that, and the difference being that instead of being a peacenik, you have a colony and you teach the boys how to shoot, how to defend themselves, etc. You now have a little colony that can defend itself. And if you had, and it showed me what I liked the most was it showed me that in the modern, supposedly competitive world, that socialism kicks ass. Socialism kicks capitalism's ass. These people, you should see in some of the videos that I put out, the Hutterites have got so much money that they go and they invest in things which must be costing, Alex, millions of dollars. Millions. The amount of money that they can spend on stuff. There was another Hutterite colony that put up the biggest solar array in all of Western Canada. Alex, you must see this. You can't believe this. And these Hutterites are saying, well, we're going to be here forever. And we think that investing like over 25 years into the solar array is going to work for us. And yeah, we're good to go for that. They're able to invest in things that normal Jew businesses wouldn't invest in. I was looking at this and I was saying to myself, imagine now you could upscale this. Since you have people working and these whites are constantly developing their skills. The men are constantly learning. When it's winter time and if there are men who like do work that relates to summer type work, then come winter, they spend the winter learning new skills, etc. And I'm looking at this and I'm saying to myself, why couldn't you upscale this to a small town of like 10,000 or 100,000 people? Could you run an entire city on a type of white socialism? Because if it can work for 100 people, surely it can work for 10,000. It's so efficient. The whole thing works out so efficiently. And I was thinking to myself, imagine we could start like white socialist cities where the entire city is like a single unit, but you've got white men and women and they're doing things and they're functioning according to that kind of Hutterite lifestyle. And they raise their own kids. Their kids, the only thing that the government does is the government sends a government teacher to teach the kids non-religious stuff. But the good side of the Hutterites, even though they teach their kids Christianity, the good side of the Hutterites is that they keep control of their children's minds. So their children don't turn into faggots and transgender and all kinds of weird Jewy crap. But they manage to control and, let's say, own their own children. I love it. It's fantastic.
I got to correct a mistake I made. I said Jan Hus, who was a Czech, who was a martyr, but that's not where the Hutterites come from. And I know I've read this in the past. I've just forgotten because there were so many little heretics. The founder of the Hutterites, Jacob Hutter, is how it'd be pronounced in German, established the Hutterite colonies on the basis of the Schlechtheim. The Schlechtheim Confession, a classic Anabaptist statement of faith of 1527. So the same time period as the Amish and Mennonites. This is another one from Jacob Hutter, H-U-T-T-E-R, not Jan Hus, who's a Czech. Since the death of Hutter in 1536, the beliefs of the Hutterites, especially those espousing a community of goods and non-resistance, so they're like the Amish, they don't believe in fighting back, have resulted in hundreds of years of diaspora in many countries. The Hutterites embarked on a series of migrations through Central and Eastern Europe, nearly extinct by the 18th century after starting in the 16th. They migrated to Russia in 1770 and about 100 years later to North America. Over the course of 140 years, their population living in a community of goods recovered from about 400 to around 50,000 at present.
Yes.
Today, almost all Hutterites live in Western Canada and the upper Great Plains of the U.S. So I guess 50,000 in North America is basically what the Hutterites are. But you said there's some in South Africa, too.
No.
That whole thing you were talking about was in Canada. Okay.
Yes,
I see.
Everything was in Canada. I was saying, I wish we could get people in South Africa to start thinking like that.
Think I've ever run across any of them. Only Amish, loads of Amish and Mennonites, but I don't think I've ever seen any Hutterites. Interesting, though. Yeah, they're the same type of thing, though. Absolutely,
they are. But the thing that got me hooked on them was when I heard that the men are good at technology. That was what a Canadian lady told me. She said,
so they farm using the latest technology.
If you are willing to watch a video, I will send you a link to my video.
Yeah, I will.
You check out their technology, Alex.
Okay.
Fall on their back. You won't believe these fucking people. I created the longest video I've ever created was the Hutterite video. And Alex, I've got in there, it's 6¾ hours. But Alex, in there, you will see I put all the high-tech stuff in the beginning. But you must go and see how they live in their houses and those men do the high tech stuff in their homes. You must see their kitchens. You won't believe how these people live.
Send me the link and I'll post it. I'll post it people to watch. And now we're going to have to wrap it up here pretty quick.
We've been at this for a long time.
it's funny. You know, I started and I don't really have too much to say today. But, you know, when we look back, we had a lot to say today. And I think I'd wrap it up by saying, you know, really, I'm going to watch Bitcoin pretty closely in the coming year, particularly what's happening in El Salvador, just as I'll watch the Amish and Mennonite communities and see how they're evolving where I am and the Congolese and everything else. But anyway, Jan, any last words from you?
The only thing I'll ask is if you watch Mennonites and Amish near you, tell me more about them. Earlier on, I was going to joke with you and say to you, how's it going with the Congolese? Because even here in South Africa, we got some Congolese. At the one grocery store I go to, there are some Congolese and they're busy talking French. I know that they're Congolese.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because they're talking French. And why are the Congolese in America and South Africa? Because the Congo is a big fuck up, Alex, and the blacks are fleeing from their own fucking countries. That's the truth. So anyway.
And the creeps, who are the type of people I went to school with who run the State Department, are bringing them all in here to water down the white population and make it uncomfortable and harass flyover because they hate normal white people. Well, and that's the fact of the matter. And yeah, they bring in all these French. They all seem to have the most up-to-date phones that translate French into English that they try to use at the counter at various places. But they keep bringing them in. As far as I know, they haven't stopped. So I guess they're up to 7% of the population now is black here. So anyway.
Very shocking.
Thank you all for being with us today. It's been one hell of a year in the United States and South Africa too, and we're going to be back with you perhaps a little more regularly in 2022. Thanks again for listening, and we'll talk to you again real soon.
Thanks very much, Alex. This is after the show, but I thought about Alex's question to me about whites and white flight in South Africa, and I thought I'd just add a few more comments in that regard. South Africa is different to America in the sense that you have states, and each state is to some degree autonomous, and the state can have different taxes and different laws to some degree, etc. So in America, whites have got an incentive to move from one state to another, because there will be something they'll like more in one state than in the other. But in South Africa, the country as a whole is pretty much the same, and the laws aren't that different. So even if I was to move, say, from Johannesburg to Pretoria, the laws and the taxes wouldn't change. About the only thing that one could do that might change would be if you wanted to move to an area with more whites, for example. And the only other reason would be if a person had, let's say, a job or a business or some kind of income, and you decided that it was better to go and live somewhere else. But on the whole, because it's not as big as America, and it isn't as varied as America, and the laws and taxes are much more similar everywhere, you have a lot less white flight here. There's very little benefit to be gained from it. And I also think that Americans are probably a bit better off financially in that sense. I do think that there are things that make it more tricky and difficult in South Africa, and that's why people don't move that much. So that's the end of the Team White. That's the last one for 2021. And we will hopefully be bringing you more Team Whites in 2022. These are Alex Linder's websites. www.alexlinder.com, pyville.net. That's his Twitter type of website. www.vnnforum.com. You'll find a ton of information on there. And then his news website, which is www.kirksvilletoday.com. These are my websites: historyreview.com, africancrisis.info, and white-shop.biz. This is my attempt to try and do some Jew-free trading and experimenting with the next level of stuff. So, thank you very much for listening. We'll be chatting again soon. Take care of yourselves.